Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Investigating Blackwater. Now the FBI will help probe an incident in which Iraqi civilians were shot dead. CBS's Dan Revive is in Washington.
FBI spokesman Richard Colco says a team of agents at the request of the State Department will help investigate what happened 2 weeks ago when private security contractors escorting embassy personnel opened fire and killed at least 11 Iraqi civilians.
They will go over there to assist in this ongoing investigation.
And the FBI says evidence found in Baghdad might lead to criminal prosecution. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Blackwater is the largest of three highly trained private security firms operating under contract to the U.S. in Iraq. They are considered a key part of the security mix. They're given the job of patrolling hot spots in Iraq, and they don't go on search and destroy missions, but they can shoot if they're threatened. Congressional critics say they shoot too quickly sometimes. The founder of the company, Eric Prince, testifies before Congress tomorrow, saying he looks forward to setting the record straight. On the ground, the Iraqi government says the number of civilian deaths last month went down more than 53%, and American military deaths, 64 of them, was the lowest number since June of last year. CBS News military analyst Mike Lyon says the surge strategy is looking pretty good.
The initial strategy of putting more soldiers on the ground and holding areas that we previously let the enemy take back appears to be working.
Transportation security screeners at airports are looking at remote control devices much more closely these days because any of them might be used to trigger a bomb, and that goes for your children's toys, too.
Terrorists have used remote control toys in the past overseas, and we know that they have been used to initiate devices used in terrorist attacks. While an outright ban is not necessary, it is necessary for us to give additional scrutiny to these items.
TSA spokesman Christopher White. Police in Las Vegas say child rape suspect Chester Stiles' ex-girlfriend only confirms what they knew about him. He's dangerous, police captain Vincent Canito.
He does have a very violent past, and he has a history of narcotics usage, so we do consider him to be a very dangerous individual. But the nature of this crime alone is very dangerous.
Police everywhere search for Stiles, who's wanted for the brutal rape of a 3-year-old little girl, the attack on whom is on videotape. He's on the run, reportedly has said he will not be taken alive. Britney Spears loses the kids, temporarily at least. She lost the physical custody fight. A judge in Los Angeles ordered her to turn them over to ex-husband Kevin Federline by Wednesday. Entertainment Tonight says she already has. On Wall Street, a record-setting day. The Dow closed at 14,087, up nearly 192 points. Art Hogan at Jefferies & Company says to keep this rally going,
we'll need to see probably an additional rate cut, if not on Halloween, sometime before the end of the year. We'll need to certainly see the economic data stream showing things like tame inflation.
The NASDAQ was up, too, today, more than 39 points, and oil prices came down some, $80.24 a barrel, down $1.42. This is CBS News.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
When's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, all wiper blades are 25% off.
Never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
There are certain things in life people just don't want to do, like meeting a girlfriend's overprotective father, helping someone move, or eating week-old sushi. Well, now you can take shopping for car insurance off that list. No more searching for the best rates. Just make your first stop Progressive.com, and you'll get all the information you need to make the right decision.
Go to Progressive.com to get our rates and, in most cases, other leading companies. It's the fastest way to save hundreds.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on where you buy.
Remember the woman who hung in the straps of her mangled SUV for 8 days before she was found?
Tanya Ryder told her husband that she called 911 on her cell phone after the accident that left her pinned in her SUV for 8 days. But Tom Ryder says he's not sure if she just imagined it.
I'm a little bit beyond hostile right now, and I need them here to answer to this.
Sergeant John Urquhart with the King County Sheriff's Office says no 911 call was made.
Now that we have her cell phone records based on our search warrant, we can tell if she called 911.
Ryder also questions why it took so long to use his wife's cell phone signal to find her. Sergeant Urquhart says Verizon wouldn't allow it without a court order. Chris Sullivan for CBS News, Seattle.
An Australian researcher says the saber-toothed cat was a big pussy cat with a wimpy bite. Had these huge eye teeth, the saber teeth. But Colin McHenry at the University of Newcastle says the computer models say it was only about a third as strong as they thought. Not that the cat wasn't bad news. Once it got its teeth into the throat, it was over soon. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Everybody knows Napa is where you get the good stuff. And this weekend, it's also where you'll find customers stuffing shopping bags full of the good stuff during the Napa Bag of Bargain Sale. Stop by this Friday through Sunday and get 25% off everything you can stuff into a special Napa shopping bag. That's 25% off oil filters, shop towels, accessories, and more. This weekend only at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there. Arrive.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show here on Monday, October 1st. I'm glad you can join us. We got a lot to talk about. We'll lead off the program today with a man who met with the demon, the devil, the Iranian terror figure, Ahmed Ahmadinejad. Professor Stephen Zunis was there in New York last week. He'll give us a first-person account. Also on today's program, investigative reporter Peter Lance. His book, Triple Cross, is due out in an updated paperback edition. And he's got some sharp criticism of Bush's new nominee for Attorney General, Judge Michael Mukasey, who, by all reports, is tough on terrorism, or is he? Also on today's program, we'll take a look at the failed health care system inside the prisons in California. The man who's in charge of that, he's called the receiver in legal parlance. Bob Sillin will join us at the top of next hour. We're also going to talk to the attorney for Brandon Mayfield, the Oregonian, who was accused of being a conspirator in the Madrid bombings of March 2004, and a courageous judge in Portland, Ann Aiken, has ruled in his favor and against the Patriot Act in two parts. We'll talk about that with the attorney. We've got lots of room for your phone calls today in the Free Speech Zone in our third and final hour. And Reverend Billy from the Church of Stop Shopping is going to join us. He knows how many shopping days there are till Christmas, and he wants you to use them for other purposes. You may join this conversation, and we invite you to call anytime the urge strikes you. We'll pay for it, too. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We continue to cover in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, KSAC, for the vacationing Christine Kraft. And we appear to be the vacation bank of some sort, because about an hour from now, we're going to plug into San Francisco to Green 960 KKGN, where their afternoon man, John Scott, is on vacation this week. And the Peter B. Collins Show will be heard in San Francisco. Wow. We've been originating here for years. And so it'll be delightful to be able to talk to my friends and neighbors and radio fans from around San Francisco Bay. That'll be live from 4 to 6 this afternoon. And we invite our current listeners on all these fine radio stations from Monterey to Eureka, Coos Bay, Sacramento to join us and call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And a shout out to my colleague Dale Julin from KRXA 540, who is going to be doing a tour next week on Green 960 in the same time period. Way to go, Dale. Professor Stephen Zunis is a semi-regular on our program. He is a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco and a major contributor to Foreign Policy in Focus, which is on the web at fpif.org. Stephen Zunis, welcome back to our program.
Good to be back.
And when I got an email from you over the weekend about my meeting with Ahmadinejad, my first thought was, oh, he's written a very clever spoof piece about what would have been like if he'd been at Columbia or the United Nations or that secret meeting at the Council on Foreign Relations in New York last week. But then I clicked on it and I said, wow, Zunis went face-to-face with Ahmadinejad. So first of all, tell us about this guy and the leisure suits that he wears. just how impressive is he in person, Stephen?
Very unimpressive, frankly. In fact, in certain ways, he came across as more pathetic than evil. I was part of a delegation that was largely consisted of clergy and American religious leaders. I teach at a Jesuit university, and mm-hmm. I was invited by Pax Christi, which is a Catholic peace group, to be part of their delegation. And he started off his talk, about his own faith and commonalities and reaching out to Christians and that kind of thing, and how it shaped his political thinking. But it came across pretty quickly that though he seemed to be a devout man, his understanding of Islam was pretty superficial. He was kind of twisting it to meet his political ends, and in the more political content, he seemed to used a lot of platitudes and got some of his facts wrong. And all in all, he reminded me a lot of another president I know.
Did he say our children's is learning?
he did seem to. It reminded me of something that I think a lot of people don't even realize with all this brouhaha about the guy, is that he really doesn't have much power politically. I mean, in Iran, constitutionally, the president is a fairly weak figure, and recent events, because he's seen by Ayatollah Khamenei and the clerical leadership who really have the power as something of a loose cannon, they've really been through a number of shifts in the Revolutionary Guard leadership, in terms of the Council of Experts leadership and the like, they've really been trying to limit the damage he can do.
Well, and not only is he, by structure, a less influential figure than we pretend he is, the New York Times had a pretty good piece and followed up with some interesting blog items and emails that were published in the Sunday paper yesterday with some attitudes and perceptions of Ahmadinejad in his own country. He's not that popular. He's not that powerful. And the way he was treated in New York by Bush, by Columbia University, and by those who protested his appearance there, essentially beefed him up with the same great policies that we've been using to keep Fidel Castro in power all these years.
Very much so. He really relishes on playing that nationalist card. I mean, he is an embarrassment, frankly, even by Iranians who are largely favorable to the regime as a whole, but even among the growing number of dissidents in the country, to see their president treated so shabbily. I mean, Lee Bollinger, the president of Columbia University, in a very insulting introduction. It's such a contrast to his laudatory introduction to Parvez Musharraf, the dictator of Pakistan, just 2 years ago. And he really plays the whole thing around double standards. I mean, why is it that Iran's nuclear program, which is years away from any kind of military application, why is that considered a subject of sanctions and everything else when Pakistan, India, and Israel that already have nuclear weapons have been violating UN Security Council resolutions about their nuclear programs for years? Why is Iran's human rights record, poor treatment of women, gays, and religious minorities so highlighted by the United States when it pales in comparison to the oppression of the fundamentalist regime in Saudi Arabia, which is supported by the United States? This kind of thing can really stir up the strong nationalist sentiments that Iranians feel across the political spectrum, and is the one thing that really does give him what power he does have.
And Stephen Zunis, I detect a pattern here in Bush, Pair, a Feast, because we saw in the 80s Manuel Noriega, who has just completed his sentence in Miami, was turned into a Hitler figure, demonized to the max. That was followed by Saddam. Bush Sr. Intentionally mispronounced his name as a kind of ethnic slur. And then, of course, we took a little time off in the 90s, and boom, came back, and here is W, once again creating Saddam as the most evil figure on the planet. And if you just go to the right-wing tabloids in New York, we saw the headlines last week where they insisted on putting the word Hitler on the front page with Ahmadinejad. Now, you know, that is such a ridiculous stretch. And certainly, you know, now we have to go to the caveat, because you can't say something critical about those who are critical of Ahmadinejad without, acknowledging that he's a creep and he said a lot of awful things about Israel, some of which have been misinterpreted, specifically mistranslated. And so it becomes a very murky picture. But it's clear to me that Bush and Cheney have a very aggressive program to turn Ahmadinejad into the next Hitler for a time.
Very much so. I mean, he's in the tradition of Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi as the Middle East leader Americans love to hate. And the idea of, highlighting and in some cases exaggerating the terrible things they do and the outrageous statements they make is a way of helping Americans feel smug and self-righteous and justify our frankly hegemonic reach in that region, the militarization of that region, and to even justify a military action. So it's and of course people like us who are skeptical of U.S. policy and that kind of thing are reluctant to say, hey, wait a minute, I mean, the guy isn't as, didn't really say that, or he's really not that dangerous. So we come across as, oh, we're apologists for this evil person, you know. Of course, Iran is a brutally autocratic regime, Ahmadinejad has said terrible things. But
the people who really should be, if we're going to demonize anybody for the current confrontation between the U.S. and Iran, it should be the mullahs who are really in control and not their puppet.
Exactly, and also, it's important to recognize as well that the the United States supports dictatorial regimes that are even worse in that part of the world. It supports countries that already have nuclear weapons. It supports countries that are indeed a bigger threat to the region's security than Iran. In fact, on a visceral level, obviously Ahmadinejad's denial of the Holocaust is particularly offensive, but we never complain when these Turkish leaders come and deny the genocide of the Armenians.
Mm-hmm.
That we seem to be willing to give our allies a kind of break, but then jump all over governments like Iran.
We're going to take a break and return with Professor Stephen Zunis. We'll find out the actual exchange that he and other leaders had, academic and religious leaders, with the president of Iran in New York last week. If you have a question or a comment, Professor Zunis is with us for another segment, so give us a call now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12 Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12 Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105. Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. About 10 minutes from now, reporter Peter Lance will join us. Give us the lowdown on Judge Michael Mukasey. He's Bush's new nominee to replace Alberto Gonzalez as Attorney General. And he's supposed to be tough on terrorism. But as a prosecutor and a federal judge, the record, well, doesn't quite live up to the hype. We'll get that from Peter Lance coming up in about 10 minutes. Right now, we're talking with Professor Stephen Zunis, who was in the same room, a face-to-face meeting with the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, in New York last week. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
So, Stephen Zunis, take a couple of minutes here and describe the nature of this exchange. First of all, did this occur after the UN speech and the Columbia student address?
Yes, it did. It was on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
And it took place in an interfaith chapel at in a building right across the street from the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
It was billed as an interfaith dialogue and included everyone from Quakers and Mennonites to you know, various mainline Protestant denominations and Roman Catholics. And we tried to emphasize that, you know, we did have some, you know, serious issues with specific certain policies of the Iranian government and statements that President Ahmadinejad had made.
Mm-hmm.
We came in a spirit of respect and dialogue. We wanted to make sure clear we're very different than the kind of reception he got at Columbia,
mm-hmm.
and wanted to encourage greater exchanges with the between the faith communities of both countries and with others to try to avoid war.
Did you get a straight answer on anything? Because in all of the fora that I saw, he gives lengthy answers. He has a weird smirk, kind of like Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really address the substance of most questions that are put to him.
Exactly. It was very disappointing in that regard. We were hoping in a more intimate setting and with people who were not coming across overly hostile that he would give more straight answers. But in fact, he did not. And he pretty much threw everything back in terms of the U.S. policy and Israeli policies. And while these particular policies he was criticizing in some cases had merit, it didn't address the questions we wanted to approach regarding certain Iranian policies. And again, it demonstrates how that so much of the response from Washington has been counterproductive because it's just fed his ability and he and other Iranian leaders to do that sort of thing.
And so what, for example, did he have to say about the prospect of sanctions, the Senate action had not taken place yet, but the Revolutionary Guard, a wing of the Iranian army, has now been named a terrorist group, and Tehran has responded by naming the United States military a terrorist group, neener, neener, neener. What was your sense of how he was responding to the pressure that's being put on Tehran from the UN and the Security Council in particular?
Basically, he saw it as bullying, as a an excuse for imperialism, and a reminder of he reminded us, of course, of the domination of Western powers in the Middle East over the years, and the misery that the U.S. occupation of Iraq has brought upon the people of that country. Again, throwing it back to look at the. Basically, to try to illustrate that this was they're not going to buckle under this kind of pressure, that they were willing to engage in dialogue and discuss substantive issues, and they were open for talks. But remember, the Bush administration has refused any kind of dialogue with Iran, except for a couple of real short meetings on some fairly narrow issues about Iraq with the between the ambassadors to that country,
right?
And we often forget that Iran actually made an offer to the United States back in May of 2003 that they would be willing to eliminate their nuclear reprocessing, open up to strict inspections as needed, end their support of Hezbollah, support the Middle East peace process, do all of this in return for the United States ending its hostile threats against Iran and having normal political and economic relations.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bush administration rejected this.
Right. Quick comment from Dave in Eureka. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air with Professor Zunas.
Yeah, Professor Zunas and Peter. I called in at the time because I felt I was hearing you guys groping to try to find some legitimacy about this Cheney plan for Iran now. And what would make anybody consider that it's not just more an expansion of the PNAC plan that they're running a little late on.
Well, if you detect any of that, Dave, it's incredulity that we would attack Iran over its very basic development in terms of nuclear enrichment. At this point, the IAEA makes it very clear all they could do is run nuclear power plants, and not even very well with what they have. Professor, a comment?
Yeah, they are. Even our own national intelligence estimate says that Iran's at least 8 to 10 years away from meeting even a Hiroshima type bomb. I personally don't support nuclear power anywhere.
Right. Professor, we're out of time. We got to stop there. Stephen Zunas, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by TreeClassics.com. the world's finest artificial Christmas trees. Visit treeclassics.com and type in CO22. I'm Charles Osgood. There are reports that Iraq's Prime Minister Maliki has gotten Iran's President Ahmadinejad to agree to help cut off the weapons and other support coming from Iran to extremist militias in Iraq, and that there has indeed been a dip in the kinds of attacks using such weapons. Is this true? Too soon to say, says General Petraeus' headquarters.
Can't validate the information because we don't know if there has been a true, foreseeable, sustainable dip.
Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Boylan is public affairs officer for General Petraeus' command.
Could be a lull just for the amount of weapons that they have on hand until they're resupplied or until they can get to them. And it very well could be that we're starting to see a potential for the flow to either slow down or to stop.
More after this for TreeClassics.com. This Christmas, decorate your home with the world's finest artificial Christmas trees from TreeClassics.com. With more than 76 styles, all backed by their 10-year tree and 5-year light warranty, TreeClassics.com is the place to visit for a hassle-free holiday. Buy factory direct and save 40 to 60% with free delivery. Celebrate TreeClassics.com's 12th year on the web. Type in CO22 for an additional 10% discount when checking out. TreeClassics.com. Their price and their quality cannot be beat.
Are you thinking about buying one of those inexpensive memory foam mattresses? Think again. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from authentic Tempur material. The one that shapes and contours to your body, guaranteeing a restful, rejuvenating night's sleep. Those knockoffs don't even come close. Call Tempur-Pedic today at 1-800-805-3495, and they'll send you a free video, a sample of the proprietary Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. You won't get that from those other guys. Tempur-Pedic is the real deal. Call 1-800-805-3495.
If it's true that the Iranian government is cooperating with Iraq's Maliki government and that as a result fewer weapons are going to Shiite militias, what should we make of that?
I think we should interpret this as a taking of responsibility by the Iranians for the shipment of weapons. They have said all along that there may be some weapons going across the border, that they can't control this very long border of theirs.
CBS News national security consultant Jeff McCausland.
It also may be linked as well to a recent announcement by Muqtada al-Sadr, one of the leading Shiite clerics and also the head of the Mahdi army, that he would suspend violence against coalition forces for a period of 6 months.
Why would the Iranians do this?
Long-term stability in the region is to their benefit. Causing Iraq to tip into a civil war is not to the long-term benefit of the Iranian revolution.
Although it's too soon to get a reading on this right now, says McCausland.
Only time will tell whether or not this is truly a trend and a firm commitment by the Iranian government or simply rhetoric on their part.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The Retirement Specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the Retirement Specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The Colts in session. The Colts in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York, the Honorable Michael Mukasey presiding.
Take off the hat. Where do you think you're at?
Michael Mukasey served as a federal judge in New York, then went into private practice, made a couple of $1 million over the ensuing 18 months, and now he's recharged his credit cards, primed and ready to do a year or so of government service for under $200,000 a year. He is the nominee of George W. Bush to serve as the next Attorney General, replacing the disgraced Alberto Gonzalez, who his resignation was effective about 2 weeks ago. Peter Lance is an investigative reporter and author of powerful books. Go to his website at peterlance.com to get the lowdown. We'll reference Triple Cross, one of his recent books that has just been re-released in an updated edition. Peter, welcome back to our program.
Great to be back. Last time you did an interview with me, I was on a payphone at Elaine's.
I remember that. I remember that very well. And
this is more hospitable. Anyway.
You did pretty well under the circumstances.
Elaine's with a drink in my hand. I'm okay.
And where are you slumming today, if we may
ask? Right now I'm slumming at my home office in Santa Barbara.
Oh, how tough can that be? I love
the presence of a beautiful woman, by the way, so that makes it even easier. So.
Oh, my. I love Santa Barbara. It's a great area, and I have a sailing buddy there. I love to drop in and go out on the water and go out to the Channel Islands there. It's just fabulous.
Yeah.
So, Peter, let's focus, because you have written a powerful two-part series that our friends at Raw Story published last week about Judge Michael Mukasey. And, of course, the public record so far in the newspapers and television coverage is mixed. On the one hand, Democrats like Charlie Schumer from New York have given an early indication that he's okay with the Democrats. Many Republicans have embraced his very tough line on terror suspects. They seem to applaud the way he ruled against the immigrant detainees post 9/11, most of whom were held without charge, some of whom were tortured in various federal lockups in New York. And ultimately, I believe not one of them was accused of any serious terrorism-related crime, but many of them were deported on fairly minor immigration issues. But you give us some depth, really going back to his service in the U.S. Attorney's Office and his role as a federal judge during some of the early terrorism cases in the 1990s. And before we go into the details, what is your sense? Would he be a good attorney general, or is he compromised in your view?
He's extremely compromised. And, Peter, this goes to the issue that I've written three books about, which is effectively that the Justice Department's two Bin Laden offices of origin, the New York office of the FBI and the Southern District Prosecutor's Office, of which Judge Mukasey is an alumnus, those offices of origin, which effectively conducted the war on terror up until 9/11 with the original Trade Center bombing case, the Day of Terror case, which Judge Mukasey presided over, the Bojinka case in 96, the Second World Trade case in 97 with Ramzi Youssef, and ultimately the African Embassy case in 01, which propelled Patrick Fitzgerald to fame and as the U.S. Attorney in Chicago and later CIA leak investigator. Those cases represent, in my opinion, only part of the story, and they leave out the most important part of the story, the criminal, I would say criminal negligence, and I'm using this term because Harry Sammet, the FBI agent from Minneapolis in the Massawi case, used that very term to describe the FBI's conduct on the road to 9/11, just prior to 9/11, absolute criminal negligence by these two offices in New York. And Judge Mukasey, in the very hash mark, the very credit that he's been given as a tough-on-terror judge, came from this Day of Terror, or what they call the Landmarks case, the plot to allegedly blow up the bridges and tunnels around Manhattan, the UN, et cetera. The blind sheikh, Omar Abdelrahman, was the principal defendant. There were originally 11 others. 9 were convicted. In that case, of which Patrick Fitzgerald was a co-prosecutor, Andrew McCarthy, that case, Judge Mukasey presided over and kept out the most important figure in the history of the war on terror, which was Ali Mohammed, the figure that I write about in my latest book, Triple Cross,
right.
Ex-Egyptian intelligence officer. infiltrated the CIA for a time in 94 in Hamburg, came to America, passed a watch list, married an American woman, effectively seduced her on the plane, got married in Reno, enlisted in the U.S. Army, ends up at Fort Bragg at the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare School, where he's commuting up on weekends, stealing top-secret memos, and training the original Trade Center bombing cell, the terrorist who killed Rabbi Meir Kahane in 1990, and other members of this plot. And he, a defense lawyer, wanted to call him as a witness in the Day of Terror plot to basically effectively argue that the U.S. government, because of our support for the Mujahideen, had kind of winked at Ali Muhammad for years and allowed him to operate, and that this was an incredible case of blowback. The chickens coming home to roost. The damage that was being done to New York City by the first Trade Center bombing, etc. And effectively, I show in this book, Triple Cross, and Andrew McCarthy met with Ali Muhammad in California prior to the trial, discouraged him from testifying, even though he was named as a unindicted co-conspirator with bin Laden himself, and Judge McKasey effectively kept this guy out of the trial. And what I said in these two Raw Story essays was that McKasey is part of this pathology that has not changed. The Bureau has not reformed since 9/11. We remain at grave risk, and McKasey is part of the problem. He's the worst guy you could appoint wanting to maybe take a fresh look in the Justice Department on how the FBI is doing to protect us in the war on terror.
And so let's try to assess here at what level the criticism of Judge McKasey should hold. Number one, is this simply a guy who defers to the government, and in cases where information, witnesses, or testimony would be embarrassing to the FBI and to prosecutors, does he simply have that bias that says, oh, I got to protect my cronies? Or is this deeper than that, where you think he did know the value of this testimony, the role of Ali Muhammad and some of his cronies, and the information that you've been able to bring out in your books?
Well, I think certainly, frankly, both of those, if the answer to both of those questions is yes, which I believe is the answer, then either one should disqualify him for the job. First of all, as Rory O'Connor, who reviewed my book Triple Cross, said, it's a conspiracy to cover up incompetence. We're not talking about an Oliver Stone conspiracy in the Justice Department. We're talking about year after year of screwing up and then not wanting other intelligence agencies or the public or the press to realize how they screwed up, like failing to prevent the first Trade Center bombing, which I proved they could have done, and therefore minimizing the presence of al-Qaeda in this country, specifically in the New York City area, and not sharing it with other agencies like the CIA. So just going acquiescing to that kind of line of thought makes McKasey the wrong guy. And certainly, whether or not he knew it at the time of the trial in 95, I believe he did know how dangerous Ali Muhammad was, because they did allow into court, through this defense lawyer, Roger Stavis, one of the training tapes that he had made at Fort Bragg. And on this tape, he's talking about wanting to overthrow any government that doesn't have essentially a radical Islamic mindset. He's talking about Egypt, but clearly he could be talking about America. And that tape was one of the tapes he would come up to what they call the Jersey Jihad office, this mosque in Jersey City on Kennedy Boulevard, and show these tapes to the brothers, you know, on weekends as he was training them. So the judge did see that tape, and yet he joked about it in the trial when Roger Stavis wanted to get what's called effectively a missing witness charge to the jury, wherein the jury is effectively charged with this. If they wanted this witness, Ali Muhammad, and he didn't show up, you can infer that what he would have testified to would have hurt the prosecution, okay? That's an important charge that the judge just laughed off when Stavis asked for it. So I believe that he did know the depth of Ali Muhammad's involvement, and certainly since then, being the astute scholar that he is, he's had access to all three of my books. He's had access to the 9/11 Commission report, and he certainly by now knows who Ali Muhammad is. So, yeah, worst guy you could have, because if my argument holds, that is to say, the Justice Department has failed to reform and that we remain at risk because they're the primary agency, as you know, Peter, to thwart terrorism in this country. If we remain at risk, as we do, then Judge McKasey is going to do nothing. He's going to just continue, the cover-up specialist, the whitewash. He's going to continue with business as usual because he presided over one of the embarrassments, this very incident. So he's not likely to reform the Bureau, shake it up in any way, shape, or form.
And just more, one more line of questioning here about Mukasey and his credibility, Peter Lance. We've seen the Bush administration go to great lengths to use the state secret privilege, assertions that any challenge to the NSA spying program would reveal methods and techniques that would compromise our national security. And many of us are suspicious that while these arguments may have some merit, that they are overblown largely to protect political blunders and other embarrassments from becoming public.
You're dead on. I don't think any author, any mainstream journalist, has documented more how lethal the Al-Qaeda threat has been and continues to be to our country. So I'm absolutely cognizant of how dangerous they are and how what a threat they remain. However, I absolutely believe, Peter, based on my research, that the Patriot Act was completely unnecessary. All of these post-9/11 draconian incursions on our civil liberties, completely unnecessary. Nor was any funding necessary, nor was some terrorism czar necessary, nor was Homeland Security necessary.
How about one more, the invasion of Iraq?
Oh, yeah, well, that's absolutely. I talked about that in my first book, A Thousand Years for Events, completely unnecessary. Afghanistan, good war. Iraq, bad war, okay, and catastrophically bad. So what I'm saying is they didn't have to do these things. And here's a guy who, in New York, supported by a liberal like Charlie Schumer, who's basically supported continuing incursions on our civil liberties when, in fact, all they had to do was use the tools at their disposal. One of the things I brought out, and I don't know if we had a chance to talk about it, that's astonishing, in Triple Cross, the paperback edition is coming out, I think, mid-November with a new kind of updated afterward with some new information. But I showed how this little check cashing store in Jersey City, Sphinx Trading, and the same building, effectively, that the blind sheikh had his mosque, where Ali Muhammad showed these tapes, where ultimately a number of the brothers from that mosque were indicted for and convicted with the sheikh of seditious conspiracy, that the FBI knew about that location, that mailbox store, Sphinx Trading, in 1991. 92, the co-owner, Walid al-Noor, was named, along with Ali Muhammad and bin Laden, by Fitzgerald and McCarthy as an unindicted co-conspirator in this very case in front of Mukasey. And guess what? Two of the 9/11 hijackers got their fake IDs in the summer of 01 from this place, a 100-square-foot mailbox store in Jersey City. Now, all the FBI had to do was sit on that store the way they sat on John Gotti's Ravenite Social Club for 7 years, photographing every living Sicilian that came in and out, and they would have been totally in the middle of and interdicted the 9/11 plot in the summer in July of 01. Bar none, not a question. I mean, it's not even subject to debate, okay? Yeah. And so Mukasey, another catastrophic blunder. How did I find that out? How did I put those dots together? By getting the trial transcript of the trial of El-Sayed Nasser, the Egyptian, later convicted with the sheikh in that case, defended by Roger Stavis. He was the guy who killed Kahani in 1990. It was treated as a lone gunman case, even though the night of the murder they found two terrorists at his house that they had photographed the Bureau in 89 firing automatic weapons on Long Island. Two guys, the top secret memos from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which you can download from my website. It said pictures of the Trade Center, bombing recipes, and they called it a lone gunman shooting, and the FBI went along with it. Well, that guy, El-Sayed Nasser, had a mailbox at Sphinx Trading. So the FBI knew about it. And yet, talk about a failure to connect the dots and an embarrassment that they would not want other people to know about.
Yeah. Peter Lance is with us. Go to his website, peterlance.com. There is a new updated edition of Triple Cross. It'll be out in November, is that right?
November, I just heard, 11th.
Okay,
yeah.
All righty. And next hour, Peter just referred to the unnecessary elements of the Patriot Act. We're going to be talking to an attorney for Robert Mayfield in Oregon, and that's where Mayfield's case resulted in a federal judge invalidating two key portions of the Patriot Act. We'll take a break and return with Peter Lance. If you have a question or comment about Judge Mukasey, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. 12 minutes in front of the hour here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you?
Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour, and we're talking with investigative journalist Peter Lance. He's got a series of powerful books, most recently Triple Cross. Go to the website at peterlance.com, L-A-N-C-E. And I want to just direct you, if you go to the site, right there on the homepage, there's a link to the timeline. It's a 32-page illustrated timeline that is an insert in the Triple Cross book. And it really helps you understand the origins. And I realize when you hear some of these names, Ali Muhammad and the blind sheikh that you may not be that intimate with, if you go to the website, look at the timeline, it's going to help you put a lot of that in context and perspective. And, Peter Lance, you also make reference to a couple of interesting meetings in Northern California, one in Santa Clara and one in Sacramento, that play into this overall picture. Describe the Northern California angle.
Right. Well, again, remember now, we've got a trial in which the blind sheikh, and by the way, the whole Day of Terror trial is a mop-up case for failing to stop the first World Trade Center bombing. They had, on the timeline, you'll see they had a good Egyptian ex-intelligence officer named Imad Salam inserted into the sheikh's cell. He knew everything that was going on. And then some, you know, empty-suited FBI boss in the New York office didn't trust him, effectively forced him out of the cell. So now they're blind. The FBI has no idea what's going on. The blind sheikh calls Pakistan. They send Ramzi Youssef, a world-class bomb maker trained in Wales, to New York, and he starts building the World Trade Center bomb. Who are his contemporaries? Who's helping him in the cell? Balima and Salema, two of the guys, the same two guys I told you were the getaway drivers for Nocer in 1990, same guys photographed by the Bureau in the summer of 89 when Bush 41 is in the White House. They've been multiple shots on the chart of the Bureau knowing who these guys were.
And these guys hang out at the shooting range in Long Island, too?
Yeah, Calvert in Long Island. And then later we found out that they were firing, listen to this, Peter, 2,000 rounds a weekend at the High Rock Range in Connecticut, one of the most densely populated states in America, for 2 years, every weekend, 2,000 rounds. And two FBI investigators, Napoli and Anisev, were chasing this guy Abu Lima, 6'2" Egyptian who stuck out redhead with like a sore thumb. He's leading them on wild goose chases. They're missing him, and they actually subpoena him. He comes into the FBI office and they try and turn him, and he basically thumbs his nose at them in September of 2002, only to go over to New Jersey to help Ramzi Youssef build a bomb. So they're warned that this is going on. They're told by Salem, follow Abu Lima and Salema. They don't do it. The bomb goes off. Now, they're paying him $500 a week before the bombing. They bring him back, Peter. They pay Salem $1.5 million to wrap up this cell, which they should have wrapped up before the first bombing. And in 3 months, he wraps up the blind shell. So this whole Day of Terror case was a mop-up, make-good, if you will, by the FBI. Again, another catastrophic embarrassment. So Andrew McCarthy, who's one of the co-prosecutors, when they find out Ali Mohammed is being subpoenaed, where's Ali at this point? Ali is in Africa, basically perfecting the African embassy bombing plot, which he began photographing in 1993. And bin Laden literally looks at the photos and says, that's where the bomb should go. The precise location 4 years later is where the bomb went off, killing 224 and injuring 4,000 in two African capitals. So Ali is in Africa, but he's also an FBI informant. He's a double agent. So Andy McCarthy calls him, summons him back to California. McCarthy flies across the country, and the evidence that I, compiled suggests, there's no definitive proof, and McCarthy denies it, that McCarthy effectively tells him to take a powder, to disappear, don't honor this subpoena. Okay? And so he never shows up at trial, even though he's in California for much of the year and would have been easily gotten to, and McCarthy was still in contact with him. He meets him in December of 94. The trial starts effectively end of January 95. So McCarthy knows where he is, and he never shows up at trial. That's meeting number one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Meeting number two in Sacramento, though, is the most astonishing meeting of all. In 1997, October, after they searched the bombing cell in Kenya, one of the members of the FBI agent named Dan Coleman, one of the key agents in Squad I-49 in the New York office, searches Wadi al-Hajj's house, and all of these guys, all the names are on the timeline you referenced, so they're easy to follow. Wadi al-Hajj, in his house in Africa, they find Ali Mohammed's name and number and everything in Sacramento, where he's now moved. So Patrick Fitzgerald flies across the country with two agents, Harlan Bell and Jack Clunan, and meets Ali Mohammed at a restaurant across from the State House in Sacramento and tries to turn him, naively thinking he can turn this guy, who's a hardened al-Qaeda spy. And Ali Mohammed says, one, I love bin Laden. I don't need a fatwa to attack America. And I have like 100 guys who I can make operational at any time, like sleepers. And he basically thumbs his nose at Fitzgerald and walks out. Fitzgerald turns to Clunan and says, that is the most dangerous man I've ever met. We cannot leave him on the street. Yet he leaves him on the street for 10 more months, only to have the bombs go off in Africa, the very plot that Ali created and sustained for 5 years while he's an FBI informant, okay? And they arrest him. They take a month to arrest him, Peter. And when they arrest him, they cut a deal with him so he never has to testify. When have you ever heard of the feds cutting a deal in return for nothing except somebody's silence? You cut a deal with a guy, and then he goes on and he testifies. Who better in U.S. versus bin Laden, the case that Patrick Fitzgerald prosecuted in February of 2001, the African embassy bombing, who better than Ali Mohammed, the guy who did the plot?
Mm-hmm.
He's the central figure. But they buy his silence. Why? For the same reason Mukasey kept him out of the Day of Terror case. They don't want the embarrassment of the multiple years of FBI failures to be revealed. Now, just imagine if in February of 2001, with all the other noise that was starting to come down the pike about an event from al-Qaeda happening that summer or the end of the summer, all the intelligence, the light is blinking red, according to George Tenet, right? All the alarm bells are going off.
Richard Clark's hair was on fire.
Right, exactly, right? Exactly. Richard, my hair's on fire. So imagine if that confluence of intelligence had, at the same time, they'd realized, oh, my God, there was this spy who infiltrated the CIA in 84, Fort Bragg from 87 to 89, and he was an FBI informant from 82 on, and he did the African embassy bombing, and oh, my God, my God, my God. Imagine if the FBI had fessed up to that in the year 2001.
And, Peter, I've just got time for one final question. Okay. 10 seconds. Will these questions be asked of Judge Mukasey at his confirmation?
If they're not, Charlie Schumer should resign.
All right. Peter Lance. Go to peterlance.com and pick up the updated edition of Triple Cross. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Peter. Anytime.
How would you like to pay off your bills for pennies on the dollar with no money out of pocket? That's right. Pennies on the dollar with no money out of pocket. Hi, everyone. This is Mark from BHR & Associates. And for the last 27 years, BHR & Associates has helped thousands of people just like you and me. Imagine this. No more calls from creditors. We give you the right to say yes or no to any settlement. And we stop the creditors from calling. You have no risk and no obligation. We work on all types of bills, past due, old bills, and most important, no money up front. For more information, here's how you can get in touch with us.
Don't let mounting debt and collection calls ruin your life. Call now, 888-581-5888. Let the pros negotiate with your creditors with no upfront cost or obligation. Call now, 888-581-5888.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Record close for the Dow.
There were lots of cheers on Wall Street.
Airline luggage losses have never been worse.
This year, in the month of July, nearly 8 of every 1,000 bags were lost, damaged, or stolen.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Dow has bounced back and then some. After hitting 14,000 in mid-July, tight credit and trouble in the housing market sent the blue chip index into decline. But then the Fed cut interest rates and the Dow started to climb back. Today, it jumped 191 points to close at a record 14,087. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus followed the action.
Investors were able to shrug off some bad news in the banking sector, profit warnings from both Citigroup and UBS because of the mortgage mess. And instead, investors are focusing on the possibility of more Fed rate cuts.
Fed policymakers meet at the end of the month. Eugene Peroni of Advisors Asset Management is very bullish. He thinks the Dow could pass another milestone by the end of the year.
15,000, I don't think, is a mighty stretch here at this point, especially since we're just beginning the fourth quarter. 3 months to go, I think that that is a doable objective.
Now this.
Get the good stuff.
Everybody knows Napa is where you get the good stuff. And this weekend, it's also where you'll find customers stuffing shopping bags full of the good stuff during the Napa Bag of Bargain Sale. Stop by this Friday through Sunday and get 25% off everything you can stuff into a special Napa shopping bag. That's 25% off oil filters, shop towels, accessories, and more. This weekend only at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. If your company is searching for a few new chairs or furnishing an entire office, Hahn offers a wide range of products from file cabinets to executive desks to suites. Hahn knows your choice is a long-term investment. Its full line of thoughtfully designed products are adaptable, modular, and multipurpose, maximizing flexibility in your office. Hahn, smart now, smarter later. For a free catalog or quote, visit gethahn.com. That's gethon.com. And I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Airline lost your luggage? Join the club. A new report says July was the worst month on record for lost, damaged, or stolen bags. CBS News transportation correspondent Nancy Cordes looked into this.
There are so many reasons why bags are getting mishandled at a larger rate than they have in the past. First of all, there are more people flying. Second of all, people are flying more often on smaller regional jets that the airlines are switching to, and sometimes those jets simply can't fit all the bags on board. Then you've got the problem that a lot of airlines downsized their ranks of baggage handlers back when they were battling bankruptcy.
And those ranks remain thin. The problem's gotten so bad that airlines are running out of places to store all the lost luggage, and one travel expert says passengers should pack their carry-ons with the assumption that the rest of their bags won't catch up to them for a day or more. In the plus column, a new report says domestic air travel has never been safer. Blackwater security comes under increasing scrutiny. CBS News reporter Stephanie Labadakis has the latest.
The State Department has formally asked the FBI for help in the investigation of the shootings of Iraqi civilians by Blackwater USA guards. A team of agents is being sent to Iraq from the FBI office here in Washington. When the agents get there, they'll review evidence the State Department has already gathered, but they'll also conduct what one official calls an objective investigation to determine if the Blackwater guards broke any U.S. laws.
A congressional report out today says Blackwater has fired 122 people over the past 3 years for problems such as misuse of weapons, alcohol and drug violations, and violent behavior. Another sad development in the downward spiral of Britney Spears. A Los Angeles judge who found the pop star engaged in habitual, frequent, and continuous use of controlled substances and alcohol today ordered her to surrender custody of her two young children. The reason, according to Mark Steinis of Entertainment Tonight, is Spears' most recent brush with the law.
Britney was charged two misdemeanor counts of hit and run, causing property damage, and one for driving without a valid California license. The court saw that and said that's the straw.
Ex-husband Kevin Federline will have temporary custody. Spears has to undergo random drug and alcohol tests and meet weekly with a parenting coach. A tragedy unfolding in Cleveland. Two young girls apparently drowned in a bathtub, and their 22-year-old mother is under arrest. Police Lieutenant Thomas Stocco says the children's father found them after getting a call at work from his wife.
According to the father in the phone call, she stated to him that the kids are in peace, the kids are resting in peace. So this, you know, led him to believe that perhaps they were in danger. He went to the home, but it was too late. Both the children were dead.
The girls were 2 and 4 years old. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The raindrops keep falling on my head.
When's the last time you replaced your wiper blades? Get ready in advance. Right now, all wiper blades are 25% off.
Never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free.
And as always, Advance Auto Parts will install them fast and free. Yeah, free. We're ready in advance.
There are certain things in life people just don't want to do. Like meeting a girlfriend's overprotective father, helping someone move, or eating week-old sushi. Well, now you can take shopping for car insurance off that list. No more searching for the best rates. Just make your first stop Progressive.com, and you'll get all the information you need to make the right decision.
Go to Progressive.com to get our rates, and in most cases, other leading companies. It's the fastest way to save hundreds.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates may fail Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on where you buy.
Phoenix attorney Michael Mann.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show here on Monday, October 1st. I'm delighted you're listening. And I want to welcome a gaggle of new listeners tuned to Green 960 in San Francisco, KKGN. All this week, I'm sitting in for John Scott, who's on vacation, and he'll return sometime late next week with the Progressive News Hours. In the meantime, I want to welcome you to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live in Sacramento, in Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, in Eureka, Crescent City, and Humboldt Bay. And we're also live in Coos Bay, Oregon. Wherever you are, however you're listening, you're welcome to join the conversation. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. I'll repeat that number for our new listeners, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk with the attorney for an Oregon man who was falsely accused of being part of the Madrid transit bombings back in 2004. Brandon Mayfield has already received a $2 million settlement from the U.S. government. And last week, a courageous judge in Portland issued a ruling in his on his behalf, saying that two key parts of the USA Patriot Act are unconstitutional. That's a very interesting case. But first up this hour,
I want to introduce you to a man you've probably never heard of, who is one of the most powerful figures in California government. Even Governor Schwarzenegger and the key leaders in the assembly have to defer to Bob Sillin when he calls and says, we got to fix the prison health care system, and we need more taxpayer dollars to do so. Robert Sillin served for many years as the chief executive officer of the Santa Clara Valley Medical Care System, and that's the Valley Medical Center, which is one of the largest public health facilities in the state. And he has taken that know-how into a very important job. He was named by federal judge Felton Henderson as the receiver for California's entire medical care system within the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Bob Sillin, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to talk with you. And I'll just point out that with the addition of our San Francisco affiliate today, we have inmates who could be listening at San Quentin, at the medical facilities in Solano County in Vacaville, at Soledad in Monterey County, at Pelican Bay, and maybe even a couple of other of the institutions, the 32 or 33 adult correctional facilities, which the medical aspects of are now under your control. So tell us about the origins of this. When did Judge Henderson decide that the medical care system in the prisons were so bad that they were violating the constitutional rights of the inmates?
Well, I'll give you a very brief cook's tour through the history of this case. It started as Plata v. Davis in the year 2000 when the Prison Law Office, a public interest lawyering group, brought suit against the state of California on behalf of Marciano Plata. It's a class action civil rights lawsuit that alleged cruel and unusual punishment in the state prison medical care system. The case went to Judge Henderson of the Northern District of California Federal District Court. He heard the case, and he, in fact, declared that he found for the plaintiffs and declared that the state was engaging in cruel and unusual punishment because of the horrid status of the medical care system. He offered the state an opportunity to bring conditions up to constitutional levels. Some 3 years later, between 2002, when the state signed legally binding stipulated agreements with the court to do so, the court found in 2005 that not only had the conditions gotten worse, but the state hadn't even lifted a finger to try to mitigate the circumstances or to improve the care. Whereupon Judge Henderson informed the state that he was now taking the state prison medical care system away from the state, putting it into receivership, and he would be appointing a receiver. That was done in November or December of 2005. I was appointed as the receiver in February of 06 and started my duties as receiver on April 17th, 06.
So you've been doing this for about a year and a half. And give us a sense of how dire the situation is. This is not prisoners who, need Botox or something like that. People actually die.
No, they actually die, and they die in large numbers, and they die for all the wrong reasons. For instance, we just published our first report on all of the deaths in the California prison system last year, and we analyzed over 400 deaths. The leading cause of death amongst the adult inmate population was asthma. That's unconscionable that adult patients are dying of asthma. Now, what the court experts found between 2002 and 2005 was that approximately 65 individuals, patient inmates, were dying needlessly every year due to the conditions in the prisons.
Asthma as a cause of death? I mean, isn't asthma generally treatable with the inhalers and a pretty good regimen of medication?
Asthma is totally treatable, especially in the free world. But when you're talking about being incarcerated in California state prison system, it is a horrid, worse than third, world type of a situation, which most people, if they weren't exposed to it or weren't in it or weren't working in it, probably wouldn't believe what they're about to hear. But the fact of the matter is about half of those 65 deaths a year were caused by no access to the medical care.
Mm-hmm.
The other half were caused by access to the medical care. There are practitioners and clinicians in our system that shouldn't be practicing anything.
Yeah.
And, one of the reasons some of them were within the prison system is they certainly couldn't practice out in what we refer to as the free world or the rest of the world.
Well, Bob Sill, and I can echo that. I have been a visitor at San Quentin Prison over 100 times, and the way I like to tell the story, I've never been invited to spend the night. But I've talked to a number of inmates there and some of the people, the staff members at the prison. And the stories are frightful, that the people who are, or at least who were attracted to work at low wages and under difficult conditions in the medical wing of our prison system really are the worst of the worst. And some of the stories, even, you know, given the limitations that these people have in delivering services, the outright ineptness and lack of training of many of these individuals is just stunning.
Well, it is stunning, and it's reprehensible, and it's shameful, and the culprit really is the state of California. There is individual culpability, people practicing who shouldn't be practicing, but the state is responsible for the medical care system, and every governor and every legislature for the past 25 years has contributed to the devolution of this system to being so bad as it's constituting cruel and unusual punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So the state really has not made any efforts, short of court orders, whereby they had no option to improve conditions for inmate patients. And, you know, that's understandable from a political perspective, but it totally ignores both the Constitution of the United States of America as well as any kind of moral sense or ethical sense that any human being might have.
If you'd like to read Bob Sillin's report to the court, go to the website CPRINC.org, CPRINC.org, and that information is available to the general public. Bob, tick off, if you would, two or three of the most critical problems, because you've had an array of complex issues to face. But if you could identify, say, the top three and the way that you're starting to address the issues, it'll give people some insight into what you're dealing with.
Well, one of the top problems, organizations are successful if they have good people populating them. It's not just bricks and mortar, it's always people. And what we're attempting to do, our number one priority for the next 18 to 24 months, is recruitment and hiring. And that's pretty difficult within the state because, as you just pointed out, they pay such low wages and the working conditions are so horrible, it's very, very difficult to find good people. So what we had to do is we waived the state laws regarding salaries and wages for state employees, and we increased wages for registered nurses, licensed vocational nurses, physicians, et cetera, pharmacists, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been somewhat successful at recruiting a whole new group of qualified, good individuals to be clinicians in our system because now we are competitive. But being competitive with the free world healthcare system only means that on the basis of wages and salaries and benefits, are you competitive? Then you have to face the issue of who wants to go to work in Blythe or anywhere else out in the middle of the desert
mm-hmm.
in that milieu. If you're not from a desert town, then you probably don't want to be in a desert town. You probably don't want to raise your family
yeah.
in a desert town.
And,
so,
and Bob Sillin, I'm tight for time here, so let me just jump to one other issue, and that is that I'm well aware of the very gray population of lifers in the system, some of whom are sentenced under an old law and should have been paroled by now, but because of politics, they haven't. They're the most expensive and health-challenged part of the population, I think, that you face. Do you have any remedies, and will the governor and the legislature ever reduce the population by being rational about the parole process for life prisoners?
Well, we have remedies for the medical care of the aging population, and you're right, the demographics are rather simple. The population is aging like the general population is aging. So we are in the midst of or beginning our construction program to build long-term care facilities, skilled nursing facilities, assisted living facilities. Not all the care that's needed is acute general hospital care. It's really more subacute care. The real answer, however, does lie, I believe, in what you have suggested, and that is that the governor and the legislature really have to get around at some point in time to changing sentencing laws and parole policies, because the overcrowding situation in the prisons, every prison is at least over capacity by at least an additional 100%. And until somebody addresses that issue, it's just going to take us more money and more time to straighten out the health care system.
Bob Sillin, it's a very tough job. It's going to take you a long time, but I can't think of anybody better suited to do it. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Robert Sillin, he is the receiver for the health care system inside the prisons of California. Again, the website, cprinc.org. We'll take a break and return, and I've got room for your phone calls in the next segment. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're live in San Francisco today on Green 960. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday afternoon. Let's take a look at the very latest as far as our traffic is concerned. Starting off with the Santa Cruz Mountains, no major problems to report on either direction, northbound or southbound. Getting more of a problem in Soquel on Carriker Lane at Soquel. It's a fender bender on the right shoulder, two vehicles. In fact, the CHP is on the way to the scene there. In San Martin, Monterey Road at Church Avenue, we have a crash. It's on the right shoulder. Two cars are reported in this one. Other than that, not a whole lot going on. No problems between Monterey and Carmel at this point. We're going to mention a little road work that we continue to tell you about. It's in Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 in Eveline. The off-ramp
remains closed and will remain shut down until the summer of 2008. The sport brought to you by JCPenney. Friday and Saturday, it's JCPenney's grand opening sale. Come celebrate their newest stores with savings. See everything on sale at JCPenney.com. Stop in.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. I'm your humble host, Peter B. I've got lines open if you'd like to join the conversation here. The way this show works, we take phone calls, whether we're interviewing somebody or just taking your calls, like right now during this next segment. No guest is scheduled, but you're welcome to call and comment on what we just discussed about the California prison's health care system with Bob Sillin, the court-appointed receiver of that division of California taxpayer efforts. So if you'd like to join in, my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1 and then 38573-8372. And you're welcome to call, particularly if you're a brand-new listener hearing us for the first time in San Francisco today on Green 960. Again, 888-573-8372. We've got a guest scheduled about 10 minutes from now. He'll be on for about 10 minutes, and we'll take more calls later in the hour about the case in Oregon of the falsely accused Brandon Mayfield. And next hour, we're wide open for your phone calls. We call it the Free Speech Zone. And my question will be to you, is Hillary's candidacy inevitable? And if you happen to be one of the people who saw her rally, some 14,000 estimated to see her in Oakland on Sunday, I'd like to hear your thoughts, pro or con. Again, my toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Up first, we go to Lafayette, and Steve's on the line. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Peter B.
How are you?
Fabulous. I'm so happy to hear you. I love it when you take over. And, you know, I don't mind green radio, but it's just so much nicer to hear the political talk.
Well, thank you very much. It's what I love to do, and it's my alternative to psychotherapy.
You know, I think I was talking to one of my clients today about this, that like going to the Grand Lake Theater, seeing
you think of War Made Easy, the movie recently?
No, it was last year with the Palast.
Oh, Greg Palast.
And there was 1,000 people in there, and I was thinking, God, they're all liberals, and it was just so warm to be amongst us.
And affirming in a world that, well, for example, Steve, you know, in talk radio, 91% of the programs that are on in major markets across the country are hosted by conservatives.
Well, and that's why we have a fascist problem in this country. You know, they keep reaffirming the selfishness of why should we pay taxes to help these slobs or these people that come here after us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the wrong attitude, because that's why we have a filled jail system, because we don't think of these people as our brothers. And if we treated people decently in this country, then everybody would be all right.
That's a great point. I really appreciate your call, Steve. Yeah. Thanks for checking in today. Now to Sacramento. Hank, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Very incisive commentary on your part, as always. We'd love to have you on for Christine anytime.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I just really quick, you were talking, you had Robert Sillin on, and I've been following the news. And, you know, we did have one of the highest suicide rates in any jail, county jail, city jail, and nationally, which is, you know, it just... It's really bizarre that people can be incarcerated and then be left alone long enough in their very unstable mental states to hurt themselves.
Well, Hank, California has a very sorry record, and under succeeding governors, starting with Dukmejian Wilson and then Gray Davis, we saw more and more draconian policies and budgets for the prison system with the Prison Guards Union. And I'm a pro-labor guy, but that union goes so far in the other direction that it's embarrassing. And I give Schwarzenegger credit. He put rehabilitation back on the name of the prison system. And I think he has good intentions. But he, too, tangles with the prison guards on a regular basis. Mary in Novato, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I I was just wondering why I'm not hearing much today or in the last couple of days about what's going on in Myanmar.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a very important story. You know, hundreds of monks may have been killed in a government roundup over the past few days. We're actually working very hard to get a source close to the action. One of the problems is that Burma has not allowed Western reporters in for quite some time, so
right.
we have to rely on Human Rights Watch and other activist groups. But stay tuned to this program this week because we're definitely going to cover it, Mary. And thank you very much for bringing that up. I appreciate your interest. We're going to take a break here and return with one of the attorneys for Brandon Mayfield from Portland. We're going to talk about that historic court ruling, and we'll take more of your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Why Britain Got Rich First. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Author Gregory Clark set out to determine why the British beat the rest of the world to the Industrial Revolution and concluded it was because of the economic Darwinism of medieval Britain. Wealthy landowners who had learned the skills of saving and investing and accumulation, who lived in big houses, who had the best food, and therefore had huge healthy families, were able to outreproduce the children of poor people, whose only skill was to live day to day and whose kids tended to die a lot.
This is not saying that necessarily we are in, say, modern West or any better than any other culture. Maybe that the envious have inherited the earth.
In his book, A Farewell to Alms, he argues that the envious, who focused on owning land and getting rich, had more children and passed on the characteristics of patience and thrift, essential to capitalism.
Capitalism eventually changes people, as opposed to the other way around.
It wasn't capitalist incentives that made the West rich. It wasn't the profit motive or even low tax rates. Gregory Clark argues that economic success happens in societies defined by a willingness to save and by an aversion to leisure. In fact, he says our medieval ancestors got by on a five-hour workday. Today's workday averages 9 hours. We actually have less leisure time than 700 years ago. But thank God, we're way happier than they were.
Surveys of happiness actually suggest that the likelihood is we're not any happier than hunter-gatherers.
Hmm. Well, okay, but they had a terrible commute. Now this.
Get the good stuff!
Everybody knows Napa is where you get the good stuff. And this weekend, it's also where you'll find customers stuffing shopping bags full of the good stuff during the Napa Bag of Bargain Sale. Stop by this Friday through Sunday and get 25% off everything you can stuff into a special Napa shopping bag. That's 25% off oil filters, shop towels, accessories, and more. This weekend only at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955. Or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered. Except when he's not.
Really?
Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I'm an opponent of the USA Patriot Act and other incursions on our constitutional rights.
It's another fascist day. It's just another fascist day. Every day Dubya gets his way. It's another fascist day. It's another fascist day.
When you put it all together, post 9/11, there have been significant rollbacks in our constitutional rights. And significantly, there are attorneys and concerned citizens who are working to change that trend. Joining me now is attorney Eldon Rosenthal, based in Portland, Oregon. He represents Brandon Mayfield, who is the gentleman who was falsely accused of complicity in the bombings that occurred on the transit system in Madrid, Spain, if you recall, back in March of 2004. And Mr. Mayfield, because he apparently has embraced Islam, that may have been one of the factors that caused him to become a suspect. Also, the FBI has settled with Mr. Mayfield, I understand, a $2 million package as a result of the fingerprint evidence that was misused in falsely accusing him of being involved in this grisly crime in Madrid. Mr. Rosenthal, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. How are you doing?
And feel free to bill this time to the U.S. government.
Okay.
I'll be happy to sign off for you. You won a very interesting, at least first-stage victory in federal court in Portland in the courtroom of Judge Ann Aiken. And in particular, her ruling said that the government and the Patriot Act are unconstitutional. The government's actions in this case and those that were defined under the Patriot Act are unconstitutional, in particular because they didn't permit the Fourth Amendment right of probable cause in the surveillance and investigation of your client.
That's right. The ruling is a holding that the Patriot Act amendments in 2001 to something known as FISA, or the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that these Patriot Act amendments are unconstitutional. And I don't know whether you'd like me to go in a little bit to the history here. Would that be of interest to you?
That would be great. Yeah, I'd like
to
know.
Well, what happened in the 1970s was that there was a realization by Congress and the American people that the executive branch, since World War II, had been embarked on massive spying on American citizens. Senate hearings in the 1970s, in what's known as the Church Committee, Senator Church from Idaho,
right. Uncovered
that hundreds of thousands of Americans had been subjected to wiretaps without warrants by Hoover and by the CIA and by the Army, under the guise of national security. And so what Congress did in the 70s was say, we're going to put a stop to this, and we're going to say that if there's true international information that the president thinks he needs to protect the country, then he has to go to this FISA court, present probable cause that he's gathering foreign intelligence, and he can then get a warrant to do wiretapping or searches. But it was very limited,
mm-hmm. And
it was an effort to limit the federal government to only the exceptional situation of the need to gather foreign intelligence and to stop all this domestic spying.
This was in response to J. Edgar Hoover's COINTELPRO program, as well as the phony claims by the Nixon administration that Watergate should not be investigated because it would compromise national security.
Sure, and the fact is that Hoover, the CIA, and the Army, they were investigating war protesters, Vietnam War protesters. They were investigating the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King was wiretapped, all under the so-called guise of national security.
Mm-hmm.
So Congress said, no, we're not going to allow this. The Fourth Amendment, you know, our constitutional rights are more important than that. And so set up this court where legitimate foreign intelligence gathering could be approved, but nothing else. Then after the tragedy of 9/11 and the fear that gripped the country, the Bush administration was able to get the Patriot Act enacted, and one of the things in the Patriot Act, and what Mr. Mayfield challenged in his lawsuit, was they broadened the scope of these non-probable cause warrants for wiretapping and physical searches so that all that the executive department, FBI, Justice Department had to do was go to this secret FISA court and say a purpose of what we're doing is foreign intelligence gathering, not the purpose. And so the result is, and everybody agrees that this is the result, that if the primary purpose was the investigation and prosecution of crime, they could get around Fourth Amendment with this FISA court. So that's what Mr. Mayfield has challenged, and that is what Judge Aiken, we think very correctly, ruled is a terrible deviation from over a 200-year history of the need for probable cause before investigating an American for a crime.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in unfortunately, in the pattern that we've seen, the Bush Justice Department claims essentially a conviction at the time that they go public with a press release about a story. And so the damage to your client is quite significant. And, of course, he was wiretapped. They searched his house, his law office. He was jailed for 2 weeks under the material witness clause. Is that one of the elements of the Patriot Act challenged by this ruling?
No, no. There certainly is a growing belief among liberal academicians that the material witness statute is being grossly misused, and perhaps the material witness statute needs to be changed. But that is not – this case was focused on the lack of probable cause requirement in the Patriot Act, and that's where this case came down.
And let me read just from a news account here a quote from Judge Aiken's ruling. For over 200 years, this nation has adhered to the rule of law with unparalleled success. A shift to a nation based on extra-constitutional authority is prohibited as well as ill-advised. Asking this court to, in essence, amend the Bill of Rights by giving it an interpretation that would deprive it of any real meaning, this court declines to do so.
Well, and I think that Judge Aiken was absolutely correct. You know, our nation has a kind of a sad history of executive and judicial excesses during times of perceived crisis. I mean, we know that during the Civil War, President Lincoln tried to do away with habeas corpus. We know that during World War I, alien and sedition laws were passed. And we know the terrible history here on the West Coast in World War II of putting our Japanese neighbors into internment camps. Unfortunately, in most of these times, the courts have gone along and then only later recognized that they were in error. And one of the reasons I think this decision is so important to us and so enheartening and makes me so proud is that here is a judge who has said, even during a war on terror, stop. You know, we're not going to lift the Bill of Rights and put it on hold while the war of terror while this terror war goes on. This could last forever. We're going to assert our constitutional rights are important even in times of perceived crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and that's what's so wonderful. You know, Phil.
No, I'm Peter. Phil's the guy from Genesis.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
He's much richer, and he can drum better than I do.
My family are Holocaust survivors, that of my family that survived, and my dad left Germany in the late 30s. And one of the things I said to Judge Aiken in the oral argument on this matter was I said from personal family history and conviction is that, you know, what's different about the United States is our independent judiciary that can stand up to the executive branch even in times of crisis, because what happened in Europe in the 1930s is that as the civil society was dismantled, it was done with the Reichstag passing laws and the judiciary going along.
Mm-hmm.
And our tradition in America is different. Our tradition in America is the judiciary is independent and can say and does say no to the government when they go too far. And one of the things that I think Judge Aiken was most concerned about was that the Patriot Act seemed to be removing the check and balance inherent in having judges rule on whether there's probable cause before allowing the executive to invade somebody's home or listen to their phone conversations.
Indeed. And Eldon Rosenthal, what do you see as this works its way up through the appeals process and ultimately to those who support the unitary executive theory? And I'm talking in particular the most recent appointees, Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito.
I don't know where this is going to end. I mean, I'm not naive. I know we have a long road to go before this particular battle is going to be completed. But I want to believe that even the most conservative of justices will have trouble stomaching the idea that the executive branch can end run the Fourth Amendment in the manner that they're allowed to do under the Patriot Act. You know, I've been getting emails and calls from people who have been appreciative and have thanked me and wanted me to thank Brandon Mayfield for doing this. And the calls have been from Republicans and conservatives as well as from liberals because, you know, what we're talking about here is, you know, our country. And what we're talking about here is our own self-image as a country where the civil rights of every citizen are the paramount unifying idea in what makes us Americans. You know, we're not Americans because we're Muslim or Jewish or Christian or Oregonians or Californians. We're Americans because we believe in a legal system where every individual's rights are the most important thing about the country.
Well, I'm one of those liberals who's very grateful for your work and to your client for challenging these important issues. And I echo what you said. Bruce Fein, who is a conservative who served in the Reagan administration, has been on our program challenging these issues. Bob Barr, a conservative congressman retired from Georgia, a man with whom I have very little agreement on many domestic issues. We're in full agreement about the power of our Constitution and the way it has been eroded under the power grabs of the Bush administration.
Yeah, I just finished reading Jack Goldsmith's book.
Oh, isn't that a stunner?
It was chilling. I mean, given how conservative he is, it was still a chilling read.
And for those who don't know, Goldsmith served in the Office of Legal Counsel at the Justice Department. Their job is to provide advice to the president. And he was brought in to replace John Yoo, who wasn't getting along with Attorney General Ashcroft. And he was a guy who was very comfortable with this expansion of presidential power, the assertion that torture could be legal. And even he was uncomfortable at David Addington in Dick Cheney's office, who is really the point guy on this incredible broad expansion of presidential power at the expense of the judiciary and even of the Congress when it was fully controlled by the Republicans.
Pretty chilling, and it all seems to be of one piece, the piece being that this particular administration is that does not rank basic civil liberties very high on the priority list. But, of course, unfortunately, we can't just point the finger of blame on this one to the president. I mean, Congress went along with all of this.
Well, and in August, they legalized the NSA program that was called warrantless wiretapping. That's a euphemism. You talked about the FISA law. It explicitly states the conditions under which they could tap messages either from Americans or into or out of the United States. They flatly and intentionally and repeatedly broke that law, even went to Ashcroft's hospital bed to try to, you know, get some cover for it. And then the Congress, led by Democrats, caved. And not only legalized the procedure, they say it's a six-month sunset, but hey, you're not going to get that back. And it included amnesty for the officials who intentionally broke our laws.
Well, my hope here is that we are slowly, conservatives and liberals alike, recognizing that our basic civil liberties, we shouldn't be throwing them out. You know, but, you know, there's a great quote from Ben Franklin. I don't know if I've got it exactly right, but you know, he said, basically, those who would sacrifice liberty for security deserve neither.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. And I think that's what more and more judges and politicians are coming to realize. I am hopeful that the decision by Judge Marrero in New York last month, striking down the national security letters portion of the Patriot Act,
mm-hmm.
and then Judge Aiken's decision last week, are going to strike a chord with our political leaders in Congress and with the people running for president now, and that they'll stop just giving lip service to these rights and, mm-hmm. and start thinking about how we can have a secure country and at the same time protect our rights.
Eldon Rosenthal, attorney in Portland, Oregon. A real pleasure to talk with you, sir, and thank you for the challenges that you've led here.
My pleasure is mine.
All right. He's the attorney for Brandon Mayfield. And next, I want to hear your comments. What do you say about the warrantless wiretapping, the expansion of presidential powers and police powers in this country? I'd like to hear your thoughts, and my lines are open for you, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. We'll take some calls next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
All right, you ready for some traffic? Let's get to it. And do we have anything going on? It's a question. Let's see. CHP telling us about a problem in San Martin, Monterey Road at Church Avenue. We actually told you about that in our last report. It's still there. Santa Clara Lawrence Expressway at Monroe, two-vehicle crash, reportedly blocking lanes there. And then we must take a look at, well, I'll tell you, Salinas, Echo Valley, sorry, folks, at Echo Valley and Vista Drive, yeah, a stop sign has been knocked down, which is not to get too concerned about. And other than that, no slow traffic being reported between Monterey and Carmel. This report brought to you by Cal Football. It's homecoming Saturday, October 13th, when Cal battles Oregon State. Join the Bears for one of the last home games of the season. For tickets, call 800-GO-BEARS or call or go on to bears.com. Go Bears!
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, originating here in the Bay Area and live today and all week long. In for John Scott on Green 960 in San Francisco, KKGN. And for Green 960 listeners, I know you're just getting used to this and you don't know my phone number. So I want to give it to you and invite you to call in, because the rest of this program is wide open for your phone calls. And my rules are simple. We take calls on any topic, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And next hour, we call it the Free Speech Zone. Lots to talk about. Want to ask you if you believe that Hillary is the inevitable candidate for the Democrats next year. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. And in numerals, that is 1-888-573-8372. Again, 1-888-573-8372. And one of my beliefs is that in progressive talk radio, we sometimes take ourselves a little too seriously. We try to avoid that here. We've got our own in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter, Tommy Panic. And Tommy is on the line right now, joining us from Washington, D.C., if I'm correct. Tommy, is that you?
I am in our nation's capital, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great today. Nice to hear from you. What's your report?
Well, I've got a newsmaker that I do hope will find its way into the mainstream media. We shall see. I'm calling it The Mystery of the Printless Republican.
Really?
It sounds a little like a Hardy Boys mystery, but I spent the better part of the day undercover to find out more about the faulty FBI fingerprinting.
Oh, right. That came up in the Brandon Mayfield case in Oregon.
Yes, it did.
Cost them $2 million.
Did he have to pay tax on that?
I don't know. We're going to check into that.
Good question. But the whole operation here, honestly, Peter, seems a little bit iffy. I have waltzed right into the Bureau's fingerprint lab. I'm undercover, properly credentialed. I'm posing as a microscope technician, if anyone asks.
Mm-hmm.
Awfully lax security. Little advice to the Bureau from me to you. Might want to give Blackwater a call. So, seriously, after spending some time looking at the J. Edgar Hoover memorabilia that decorates a lot of the corridors of this research and experiment wing of the building,
mm-hmm.
there was this one photo. Hoover looking lovingly at Clyde Tolson, and it looked a lot like the way Larry Craig gazes at the stainless steel stall in the little senator's room at the airport. But anyway,
I got
down to business.
That's
security,
vivid.
As I mentioned, Peter, a major issue in this place, but so is technology. Unbelievably archaic tech. I mean, these guys have a monster budget. Where does the cash go? It does not go to tech. I'm looking at Commodore 64s. Some Tandy 1000s from Radio Shack.
That's museum-quality computers.
Exactly. Also some Tandy 2000s,
oh,
also
God.
From Radio Shack. They might not want their name heard on your show. I simply use my iPhone from Apple, stock at an all-time high. Might not want their name in association as well. But the iPhone with a soldering iron and a turnip,
mm-hmm.
a turnip, very MacGyver-like, I've effortlessly entered their system. This is the National Fingerprint Database. So much for national security, right?
Yeah.
You could literally spend years scouring this info, but I think because of the turnip, I did find out some startling info pretty quick. As I said, I've discovered the printless Republican. Key members of the administration and their extended families don't have fingerprints.
Really?
They have been removed. Fingerprint removal surgery. And yeah, I mean, obviously you have no chance of getting anywhere near the president or the VP to verify this for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter, Jenna Bush, the twin that got the cool name,
right.
She's going on the book tour.
Right.
And you might be able to get close enough to get a look at her printless tips for yourself. And I urge all Americans to investigate. I don't know what this means. It's not simple. Like a sitcom or something. I intend to do some more investigating, and
mm-hmm.
unless the Blackwater guys that should be guarding this place get to me first. But why the Bureau spends no cash on tech, and why, in the future, would we not want prints? I don't know. I intend to find out. But that's the story from Washington. I got to go, Peter. I'm always on the beat, as you know.
That's right.
As dusk turns tonight here in our nation's capital, I have a meeting with a former security man in the building who claims a year or so ago to have seen Karl Rove, Mitch McConnell, Mark Foley, and Mr. Bathroom Stall modeling some of the sluttier pieces from former Director Hoover's personal dress collection. So
wow.
I have got to get to that right now.
I understand your priorities. Thank you, Tommy Panic. Great to hear from you today. Now to David in San Francisco. Hi, David. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, how are you, Peter? You know, it's kind of fortunate that I followed your previous guest. It's constantly when I hear people, when they learn things about the Bush administration and how our civil liberties are disappearing, they almost go into a state of shock as if there is no solution to it. Well, there really easily is a solution, and it's when people realize that organized crime is the motivation of the Bush administration, it becomes easier to understand how you can oppose them. If you think that there's some spiritual secret cult like Skull and Bones, you know, you don't know how to deal with that. But if you realize that they're nothing more than a pack of organized crime families that have essentially created a cadre of all of the worst thugs of all of the different groups, the organized crime of the Protestants and the organized crime of Opus Dei, who would normally never interact. But, you know, you can get organized crime of the blacks and of the Hispanics and the upper crust whites, and they're now merging together to keep the Bush family going.
So what's the answer here? Should we form some liberal organized crime groups?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that it should only be liberal. I mean, obviously, it's a united you stand, divided you fall solution. And I, for one, just in historical terms, this has happened dozens of times in history, and not just in the French republics and in America. Mm-hmm. Look at Andrew Jackson; he had to change out the money.
Yeah.
You have to essentially, if they're going to steal all of the money. We have to change out the money so we leave them broke.
All right, David, thank you for your point today. Thanks for calling from San Francisco. We're going to open up the phones for the entire next hour, so grab a line and share your views at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. I'm Peter B. Collins.
If you have past due problem debt, we can help. Whether you have personal debt problems or business debt, we can save you anywhere from 40 to 80% off that debt. My name is Rhonda, and I am with BHR & Associates, and we are professional debt negotiators. We charge nothing up front, and if we can't help you, there is no fee. You will have the option to accept or not accept any settlement we reach on your behalf. Remember, no results, no fee. We will be happy to discuss this with you further. There's no obligation whatsoever. Please get in touch with us now for more details and information. Call now. Ask for Rhonda. I will be happy to review your situation.
Don't let mounting debt and collection calls ruin your life. Call now, 888-581-5888. Let the pros negotiate with your creditors with no upfront cost or obligation. Call now, 888-581-5888. That's 888-581-5888.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Recession worries were nowhere to be found on Wall Street today. The Dow rocketed ahead, gaining 191 points to close at a new high, 14,087.
What we have right now is terrific, and especially in a year where we expected a whole lot less.
Art Hogan is chief market strategist at Jefferies & Company in Boston. Now it seems investors expect a whole lot more, with at least one analyst saying the Dow could reach 15,000 by the end of the year. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus on what's fueling this new optimism.
There's a lot of anticipation now in the stock market for yet another interest rate cut by the Fed at the end of this month. If we don't get it, we could see the stock market rally get tripped up. Also, we've just entered earnings season for the third quarter, so depending on those results, we could see the stock market rally take off or take a breather.
Today, Citigroup and UBS both issued third quarter profit warnings but suggested the worst is over for them. More black marks for Blackwater, the contractor that provides security for U.S. diplomats in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has details of a new congressional report.
The report, which has been prepared for a Capitol Hill hearing tomorrow, says that Blackwater forces in Iraq have been involved in at least 195 shootings since 2005. That's an average of 1.4 shootings every week. And in more than 80% of the incidents, the private guards were said to have fired first.
The report also says 122 Blackwater employees have been fired for misconduct in the past 3 years. An FBI team will investigate Blackwater's role in a deadly shootout last month.
There's certainly no indication from FBI spokesman Richard Colco that the agents heading to Baghdad are about to arrest any of the Blackwater USA employees.
The State Department simply asked for additional investigative resources, and we work closely with them on a daily basis. So when the request came in, we do everything we can to accommodate them.
There are allegations that American private security contractors have been trigger-happy. The focus is on an incident 2 weeks ago in which 11 Iraqi civilians were shot dead. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Domestic air travel is safer than ever, but it's a lot less convenient. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes on the growing problem of lost luggage.
So many bags are getting separated from their owners, the airlines are running out of places to put them. This July was the worst on record for mishandled bags. Nearly 8 of every 1,000 were lost, damaged, or stolen. Compare that to 6.5 per 1,000 last July.
Two children aged 2 and 4 drowned in a bathtub in their Cleveland home today, and Police Lieutenant Thomas Stocco says they've arrested a suspect.
The mother, 22-year-old Amber Hill, was placed under arrest for investigation of homicide.
Stocco says the victims were found by their father, who rushed home from work after Hill called and told him the girls were at peace. The price of oil down $1.42 to $80.24 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome to Lardo's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, two love handles and a double chin, too. Baby, what you want?
Can I get a booty do?
Well, if only 39 cents more, you can get our signature big honking booty do.
What are you really getting in your combo meal? Instead of greasy fast food, try the new Subway Fresh Fit meal that fits into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle. Now with more tasty choices like new hearty wheat bread that's a good source of fiber and low-fat Dannon yogurt. Subway, eat fresh.
Subway Fresh Fit meals are not a diet program.
The Seattle woman whose SUV ran off a road and plunged into a ravine, did she try to call for help? Chris Sullivan of station KIRO has the latest.
Tanya Ryder told her husband that she called 911 on her cell phone after the accident that left her pinned in her SUV for 8 days. But Tom Ryder says he's not sure if she just imagined it.
I'm a little bit beyond hostile right now, and I need them here to answer to this.
Sergeant John Urquhart with the King County Sheriff's Office says no 911 call was made.
Now that we have her cell phone records based on our search warrant, we can tell if she called 911.
Ryder also questions why it took so long to use his wife's cell phone signal to find her. Sergeant Urquhart says Verizon wouldn't allow it without a court order. Chris Sullivan for CBS News, Seattle.
India's Jewish community is small, but its angry complaints prompted a home furnishings chain to rethink the marketing of a new line of bedspreads. It will no longer be called the Nazi Collection, and advertising with swastikas has been withdrawn. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Get the good stuff!
Everybody knows Napa is where you get the good stuff. And this weekend, it's also where you'll find customers stuffing shopping bags full of the good stuff during the Napa Bag of Bargain Sale. Stop by this Friday through Sunday and get 25% off everything you can stuff into a special Napa shopping bag. That's 25% off oil filters, shop towels, accessories, and more. This weekend only at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. If your company is searching for a few new chairs or furnishing an entire office, Hahn offers a wide range of products from file cabinets to executive desks to suites. Hahn knows your choice is a long-term investment. Its full line of thoughtfully designed products are adaptable, modular, and multi-purpose, maximizing flexibility in your office. Hahn, smart now, smarter later. For a free catalog or quote, visit gethahn.com. That's gethon.com. And I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes.
I'm Peter B. Welcome to the Free Speech Zone.
Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie.
Yeah, but I think the script's been written.
Another song and dance. Another poor sucker who never had.
It's the Free Speech Zone here at the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got four lines open for you right now if you'd like to call in. And my question of the moment is Hillary Rodham Clinton inevitably going to be the Democratic nominee for president next year? I'd like to hear your thoughts, and I have lines available, 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-573-8372, and it spells into 888-5-PETER-B. That's easier for some people, harder for others. But I invite your calls. Hillary Clinton came to Oakland
and gave a speech on Sunday afternoon. The Chronicle reported 14,000 people were in attendance. And at a separate political event over the weekend, a pollster and I were chatting, and he said, you know, it's inevitable. The polls all show, whether you're looking at the national polls or the early primary states, that Hillary's pretty well got it locked up. And I have to say, I am in denial at this stage. I am not prepared to support Hillary Clinton for president. I believe that she showed us very poor judgment in the United States Senate related to the most critical issue of our time, and that is George Bush's war and occupation in Afghanistan. And the other Democratic boy nominees, the men who were there watching her debate Tim Russert at Dartmouth last week, they're pulling their punches. They're holding back. And I can't quite see whether it's because they concede the inevitability of Hillary's candidacy and they say, hey, well, I want to be the VP or the secretary of something. And if I piss her off too much at this point by being critical, that'll never happen. John Edwards, to his credit, was sharply critical of Hillary Clinton. Well, more than mildly. How's that? Because he said, you know, she took a vote today to essentially authorize the first step toward war with Iran. And she said, I voted with her back in the fall of 2002 when I was in the Senate to authorize this president to go to war with Iraq. And we thought that it might actually prevent the war because the president was supposed to go back for another United Nations resolution. And we didn't think that was the final decision. He said, but I've learned a different lesson than Hillary has from that experience. And he was explicit from that point on. He said, I cannot trust this President Bush with even the first step toward a war with Iran. And I give John Edwards credit. I think we need to hear more explicit differences between these candidates on the critical issues. Now, I'd like to hear from you, and particularly if you're listening today on Green 960, where we are covering for the vacationing John Scott, or maybe you're in Sacramento, where we're covering for the vacationing Christine Kraft. Maybe you're in Monterey, Eureka, where we're not covering for anybody on vacation. But I'd like to hear from you, and if you happen to attend that rally in Oakland yesterday, we'll put you at the front of the line here, because pro or con, I'd like to hear your reaction to Senator Clinton's appearance. Again, my number toll-free is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And the other issue that I'll throw out, but you're welcome to call about anything that concerns you, is this prospect of a war with Iran. I'm very concerned about this and have been for 6 to 8 months as we've been talking about this on a regular basis and interviewing people who know more than I do. And I have very deep concerns that this administration at some point over the winter will continue to build this idea that Iran is a provocative player in the world. We never hear it referred to as a government. It's always a regime. And that is a code that it must fall when those words traipse off the lips of Cheney and Rice and Bush. And so I think we have to be extremely vigilant. And I'm afraid that the Democrats don't appear to be sufficiently wary of the intentions of this president.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 bomb,
yes, bomb, Iran.
And again, I have concerns about the judgment of Senator Hillary Clinton, that she does not appear to see the way Jim Webb, a freshman senator from Virginia, sees that you cannot encourage this administration at all in terms of a military confrontation with Iran. The beginning of our show today, some of you heard Stephen Zunis, a professor of politics from the University of San Francisco, who actually met face-to-face with Ahmadinejad in New York last week. And along with others, Zunis says, look, this guy is not even a powerful figure in his own government. And by demonizing him, trying to prevent him from speaking, and creating this whole ruckus, we strengthened his hand with his own domestic population, which is not a very strong bond to begin with. So those are some of my thoughts. I'd like to hear from you. A little bit later, I might interject about the Biden plan to partition Iraq. And if you have comments on that, feel free to bring them forward. All right, first up, we go to Mark in Mountain View, listening on Green 960. Welcome, Mark. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much. First-time caller. I just couldn't agree with you more about Hillary's stance and, you know, her approach to, you know, not willing to, first of all, admit that, you know, she was wrong in voting to go, you know, for funding for the Iraq war, and then her, you know, her soft stance on this deal with Iran. And one word that didn't really come up during that debate, it did, and not from Hillary, was the word diplomacy. And also, no one really talked about Saudi Arabia's involvement or Jordan's involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can do to reach out to them before, you know, war is even an issue.
Well, you make a couple of good points there, sir. And one is the diplomacy word. Bill Richardson used it, I believe I counted, 10 times in one answer. And that's his strong suit. He's been a diplomat. He's helped defuse some very critical situations. He confronted Saddam Hussein back in 1990, 1991. And he's also faced down Kim Jong-il in North Korea. And while I have some differences on domestic issues with Richardson, like his endorsement from the NRA, I give him high marks, and he's the one who has, besides Stanis Kucinich, the clearest idea of bringing our troops home clear and simply. And the top three, Obama, Edwards, and Clinton, I think all fluffed the answer last week when Russert asked them if they're content to have U.S. troops in Iraq, you know, until 2013. I have the right answer for them, and in case any of them are listening, it's real easy. You say, my intention is to bring every American troop home as soon as possible, and I will only alter that plan if I find when I take office that George W. Bush has screwed things up even worse than we know. That's the right answer, don't you think?
Oh, sure, yeah, none of those top three came close to giving that answer. The closest one was... it wasn't Hillary, and it wasn't Obama.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for the call from Mountain View today. Great to have you listening.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And now to Laurie in San Francisco. Hello, Laurie. It's Peter B. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. I'm actually in Napa.
Okay, I'll take that. I love Napa.
It's glorious. It's paradise. I went to a private event for Hillary yesterday. And I was really on the fence prior to going to that event. She wasn't my first choice for a lot of the same reasons you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so impressive. Everybody was just so, so overwhelmed. She spoke for an hour. She took questions. She did not use notes. She was articulate. She was witty. Her depth of knowledge of any number of different topics was just stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready for a woman to be president to clean up the mess the men have made.
Okay, Laurie, I understand all those points. I, too, have met Hillary Clinton. I'm very impressed with her. She is bright. She's engaging. There's no question about it. And I'm sympathetic. I'm a feminist. I would like to see a woman elected president. But let me tell you what I fear. I recently held my nose and my stomach, too, and watched Fox News for an hour on Sean Hannity's weekend program. And he presented a video package that just will show you what the right wing will do if Hillary is the nominee. And it took her positions on Iraq, which I have trouble with, and showed them varying over the years. They brought out John Kerry's flip-flops and basically have handed them down to her. And if you look at what the right wing has on her and a couple of $100 million of media time to amplify it, I have a great concern that if Hillary is the nominee, the Democrats won't actually win in 2008.
No question she's a lightning rod. But you know what? All her baggage is already out there. She got raked over during Bill Clinton's administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's tough enough to handle it. And you should change your mind over, you know, a period of time. It's these, you know, locked into this dogma that you never change your mind no matter what the new information is.
But John Edwards admits he was wrong and changed his mind.
Understood. I think John Edwards is great.
And
she continues
to dance around that topic and act as if she's been against the war as long as anybody else. And as somebody who's been against it since before it started, I'm offended by that.
Well, get over it, then, and get on with it.
All right, Laurie, I'll work on it. Thank you for your call. Get over it, she says. Maybe I will. Maybe I'm going to have to. All right, we take a break here and return for more of your phone calls. I've got one line open, 888-5-PETER-B. People are figuring out the number. It's 1-888-573-8372. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at some traffic on a Monday evening. All right, everybody's trying to get home, and I want to be honest with you, there's not a lot going on, but we will report what we do have. We're still off in Morgan Hill, northbound on 101 for Tenet. Large piece of tire reported there. Carmel Highway 1 at Rio Road, we have a two-car crash. It's not really causing any delays, to be honest with you. They pulled off into a parking lot. Let's take a look at, let's see here. Santa Clara, looks like Lawrence Expressway at Monroe, two-vehicle crash being reported there. And Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel, no problems to report there at this point. And we're going to let you know that this report is brought to you by Cal Football. It's homecoming Saturday, October 13, when Cal battles Oregon State. Join the Bears for one of the last home games of the season. For tickets, go to GoBears.com or 1-800-GO-BEARS.
On the Peter B. Collins Show, I'm glad you're listening. We're on in San Francisco today on Green 960 KKGN, where John Scott continues on vacation. And I know we're a new show and a new phone number for people. I'll give you the number again, 888-5-PETER-B. More of your calls here coming up. And we'll pause briefly in about 10 minutes to get an update from Reverend Billy of the Church of Stop Shopping. He's got a movie invite for San Francisco listeners tonight. But I wanted to take a moment to commend listener Mary from Novato. She called in last hour and said, hey, we need more coverage about this bloodbath in Burma. And it's really devastating. Just last week, we saw the powerful scenes of the orange-robed monks with shaved heads, often shoeless, marching in their opposition to the strong-arm military government of Burma or Myanmar. And the crackdown appeared to start on Friday. In one instance, the report indicates that troops and thugs went to a monastery where 200 monks lived, and only 10 survived. The description was that these monks were killed by having their heads smashed against a wall. And because of the maximum control of the central government, outsiders are having a very difficult time even coming up with estimates of the number of victims of this government rage. And properly, President Bush at the United Nations last week said that Americans are outraged about this. I think he was a little ahead of the public. But if you weren't then, you should be now. And we're going to make an extra effort to get some coverage of this on this program over the next couple of days. And I hope you'll stay tuned for that. Janet joins us next from Sacramento. Hello, Janet. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. Actually, I live in Auburn, but I'm in Christine Kraft area listening.
Well, great. Good to have you on the program.
Well, it's great to listen to you. I've heard about you, but I've never been able to hear your show. So you're really a breath of fresh air. And I have a couple of things. When Bill Clinton was president, I supported him. I thought he was wonderful. He'll probably end up being one of the best presidents we've ever had. I liked Hillary as well. However, I'm like you. I'm not so sure that if she becomes the candidate that she will win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bit distrustful of her health care stance as of now. You know, a lot of insurance companies and pharmaceutical houses give a lot of money, and yep. I'm a nurse, and that just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I respect the work she attempted during the first Clinton administration to try to reform the healthcare system. I think she made some serious mistakes in trying to keep it secret, and it's really a piss off, you know, that Dick Cheney could keep his energy task force secret, but she couldn't have private meetings with her healthcare reform task force. Then the 1,100-page bill that was just too complex and clearly overshot. But in the picture today, she's still willing to let the insurance companies stay at the table. And I basically think we need to wean them from the healthcare system. And I'm also a little bit radical on this, Janet. I believe that the whole effort to deliver healthcare at a profit is a total failure. And I think we need to recognize that and get over the S word. It's not socialism to declare that it's a right for every American to have adequate health care and to come up with a way to make it affordable.
I mean, we give away so much health care every single year. I work in one of the local hospitals, and it's unbelievable the amount of money that goes out to people that don't have insurance anyway. But to not have a program where they can get the kind of funding that they need, the kind of care that they need before something happens to them so they don't have to drain.
Wait. Didn't you hear our president? He first said that, our children's is learning.
He said,
look, everybody's got health care. That's the emergency room.
Oh, yeah. See, and that's the whole thing. We don't have a health care system. We have a sick care system.
Janet, thank you very much. I want to jump to Scott, who's calling from Meadow Vista. Welcome, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Janet said just exactly what I was going to say. I also am a registered nurse, and so I have a couple of bones to pick with Hillary. I mean, frankly, I was, you know, years ago when it became obvious that she was going to make a run, I was thinking for a long time that it would be great to have her as a president, but first this whole Iraqi business and kind of a wimpish stand, and now this vote with you know, this next thing coming up with Iran, that really makes me really uncomfortable with her. And plus, I have been convinced for years that this country needs a single-payer health care.
I'm with you there, Scott. I'm out of time for this segment, but thank you for your call. We'll take more calls next at 888-5-PETER-B. And for my money, Mike Gravel's kind of our crazy uncle in the Democratic presidential race, but he's the only one who will tell it like it is and say, Hillary, I'm ashamed of you, because Mike Gravel knows he's not going to be vice president of anything. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
11 a.m. Saturdays. All you need is love. The Quantum Leap. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. On KRXA 540.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a vibe of delusion. Open at 7, every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
More of your calls coming right up. But first, in the late 1980s, a guy named Bill Talon left San Francisco where he had started the Solo Mio Festival. And in some kind of an incident imbued by the megaphone preachers at Times Square, he underwent a dramatic conversion and emerged as Reverend Billy. He is now the pastor of a national movement called the Church of Stop Shopping. And he fronts the amazing Stop Shopping Gospel Choir. And he gets arrested every now and then. There's a lot of wear and tear on the Rev. And it's all chronicled in a brand new feature documentary film that I got to see on Friday night at the Roxy in San Francisco. It's called WWJB. What Would Jesus Buy? Reverend Billy, thank you for your pastoral counseling, your guidance to a wayward nation.
Saint Peter. It's good to hear your voice today in the radio church.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good, and after seeing the film, I saw that, you know, this is not just a shtick. This is not just some attention-getting device where, you dyed your hair shocking blonde and wear these white suits and the Roman collar. You're really serious about fighting the ugly trends of consumer addiction in America.
Yeah, well, Jesus had plenty of shtick, you know. I mean, that's why he didn't have to buy much. That's how he excited all those wealthy housewives into giving him things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so proud to work with the anti-consumers across the country, people like Bill McKibben and Judith Levine, the people that are these wonderful expert talking heads in What Would Jesus Buy and talk to us about slowing down our consumption.
Yeah.
And, of course, the choir and Sister Savitri. And I'm just getting ready, getting dressed here, going to go back to see the movie again tonight at the Roxy at 9:15. And that will be the final showing in the San Francisco Independent Film Festival.
Well, I want people to come out and see it. The Roxy, of course, at 16th in Valencia. 9 o'clock is the screening time tonight.
Amen.
Yeah. And Billy, we can't touch on everything in the movie, but when you went to the belly of the beast, to Bentonville, Arkansas, to pray in front of the Walmart World Headquarters,
that's right.
You attracted some of the most bizarre security personnel that I've ever seen. These are the people who dream about being in Blackwater and don't have a prayer.
Blackwater couldn't quite hire, and they ended up being corporate police in Bentonville.
Yeah.
But the that failed exorcism of the sign in front of the front door of the world headquarters was
right.
Yeah, that's a low point in the movie, all right. Woo.
Well, but you almost got that bush to burn.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought just the friction of my polyester might do it. But I was in my full chicken and the choir was dressed in white too, and we were freezing. Morgan Spurlock is a bit of a taskmaster, if I can say that with love, Morgan. Amen.
That's the filmmaker,
if this ever crops up somewhere in the cybersphere. But, yeah, we got up really early and started our voodoo hex on the front door of the great devil at a local cemetery. And the idea was that so many small towns and communities have been destroyed by Walmart, both here and back in the sweatshop factory countries, communities, that we just thought we would just start in sorrow and let the sorrow build to make our new vision arrive at our new vision of a life after big boxes and chain stores, an economy after sweatshops. I just read that the fastest growing sector of the of food in this country is the farmers market. That really surprised me. It's very gratifying. I hope that's true. I believe it's true. I mean, when I go by a farmers market in Brooklyn at the Grand Army Plaza, at the top of Prospect Park, for instance, or Union Square, they're booming. They are booming, and people want to put their hand on that vegetable, and they want to look up at the person who tended to it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have a conversation with the person who worked on that farm in that garden. And it makes all the difference. The magic of
and
that relationship makes all the difference. That's what we mean by stopping shopping.
And it
stopping
tastes better, too.
And starting living. Amen.
Just imagine, you know, everybody knows how bland the Frankenfood tomatoes taste. And when you get one that was really grown organically or in somebody's backyard, it makes all the difference in the world. Well, Reverend Billy, I want to thank you for checking in today. I want people to check out the new film, What Would Jesus Buy? One more time tonight at the Roxy in San Francisco. And then they can find out more information at your website, which is revbilly.com, right?
Amen, St. Peter. Change-a-luia, children. Let's ask the fabulous unknown to come down upon this radio show tonight. Peter, I want you to put that San Francisco value of compassion on your listeners. Amen.
I'll do my best, Billy. Thanks for your inspiration.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. That's Reverend Billy. Can you stop shopping? Back to your calls here in the free speech zone. I've got a couple of lines open because some cell phones dropped in the last few minutes. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We've been talking about Hillary. Is it inevitable that she'll be the nominee? And I think we've got Rosh from Sacramento. Hello, sir. I'm on line two, and I hear a cell phone. Who's this?
Ellie is from San Francisco.
Okay, Ellie, now I see you there on my screen.
You got me on my cell phone. You're absolutely right.
Okay, the background noise is a little louder than you, Ellie. Can you get close to that expensive phone?
Is that better?
Oh, much more better. Thank you.
Okay.
Now you're
plugged in.
But now you're a risk to the people driving near you, so. Tell me what's on your mind,
not
Ellie.
Not Hillary. Absolutely not Hillary. It's not inevitable. These are the same polls that had Howard Dean winning in the landslide.
Mm-hmm.
The national polls are a statistical anomaly. I mean, if you can't have that many close races at the state level and then have the national polls be so disparate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a moral dilemma if she does become the nominee. Because I think that there is a distinct possibility that if she were to become president, she could be the second president to leave this country in worse shape than she found it.
Yeah.
She's polarizing, and I really don't think she has learned. And I don't, you know, I mean, she has a way of bullying people and coercing people.
Well, have you heard that there was an article scheduled to run in the next edition of GQ, which is not known for its political commentary. It's more of a fashion magazine.
I know.
Anyway, GQ was going to run a story about infighting in the presidential campaign of HRC. And apparently the people aligned with Bill Clinton went to the editors and said, if you run that story, you're not going to get the exclusive on Bill Clinton's next trip to Africa, you know, on the Clinton initiative. And that's a kind of hardball and media control that I deeply resent. Because, hey, if you're the front runner and you're that far out in front, what do you have to fear by hearing that there's some bickering between people on your staff? Why do they need to control that and have it all zipped up? I don't get that.
I don't get it either, Peter. I really, really don't get it. And the question I have for all the women that are out there that are supporting her is, are those the values that you want to instill in your kids?
Very well put, Ellie. Thank you for calling us from your car today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Arlen in Monterey, you've been holding all day. Welcome.
Thank you, Peter. I agree with everything you've said so far about Hillary. But I'm going to play the devil's advocate, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's great. That's great, because if you were just going to kiss my butt, I would have to move on to the next call.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm listening, Arlen. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, sure. I'm thinking that, you know, Hillary, for all these years, ever since her husband left office, has wanted to be president, right?
Yeah.
And like most politicians, that's the only thing that really she'll do anything to get elected. And I'm thinking, if I'm one of her handlers and I want her to be president, I think, what is she most vulnerable on? Now, as a woman, I would think the thing she'd be most vulnerable on would be how strong she is on defense, on national security. And I think they're purposely trying to do whatever they can to make her a little bit to the right, a little bit pro-military, you know, strong on national security, just to, nullify that attack that they would get from the right wing.
Well, and let's look at the signature technique of Bill Clinton in getting elected two times. He took progressives, welfare families, people who were opposed to his trade deals like NAFTA and WTO and GATT, and he wedged us in. He basically said, you don't have any other choice. I don't have to appeal to you in any way, shape, or form. I am going after the DLC Democrats, the middle of the roaders, and some, you know, Reagan Republicans, the office park dads, you know, all those different focus group subheads. And he basically said that the true liberals in this country have no other place to go. They've got to vote in the Democratic Party. And so we won't do anything to service that part of the constituency. We're going to go after others. And that's where I think we see Hillary Clinton going as well. She's saying the anti-war people by next November are going to have her and some Republican, whether it's Fred Thompson or Rudy Giuliani or Mitt Romney, to face off against. And that given that choice, we'll suck it up and vote for her. And you know what? I think that could be a critical miscalculation, because I think a lot of people may say, I'll pass Hillary. I'll pass. Other people can elect you, but I'm not going to be one of them.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. You know, it would be hard to get up a lot of enthusiasm for her if she continues, you know, taking the stand she does on Iraq and Iran. And, so I think it'll be hard for me, but we'll have to see how it develops.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for your call, and thanks for holding on today, Arlen. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
Jake in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Pretty good.
Well, first I'd like to let all the listeners there in San Francisco and Sacramento know that you should be contacting your local radio stations and asking for the Peter B. Collins Show to be a regular feature there in San Francisco and Sacramento, because, you know, you got the best show out there, Peter B.
I really appreciate that, and the wire transfer was completed about 10 minutes ago.
Thank you.
Katrina took care of that.
Hillary Clinton, you know, the deal with Hillary Clinton is very simple. The reason she is probably the worst possible candidate the Democrats can put up in a general election is because not only does she divide the Democratic base, she unites the Republican base against her. Right now, the Republicans are demoralized. A lot of them aren't even going to bother to show up to vote. But if Hillary Clinton is on the Democratic ticket, yeah, those Republicans, they will show up to vote next year.
Bingo. And despite that, there was a movement over the weekend. James Dobson from Focus on the Family and some of the other Christian conservatives have said that they can't support Rudy Giuliani. But likewise, if Giuliani is the nominee, the evangelicals will be wedged in, and they'll have very little choice. And as you point out, Hillary is what will unify those disparate Republican groups.
That's right. And if you look at the polling numbers, not only has Obama pulled ahead in the Iowa caucuses, but if you look at the general election numbers, Obama is much more acceptable to Republicans than Hillary Clinton is. So if you have Obama on the ticket, actually, it's going to be a lot easier for the Democrats to win the general election than with Hillary Clinton.
You make great points, Jake. Thanks for your call today. That leaves a line open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Again, you dial 1-888-573-8372. And look for Peter B. Collins Show podcasts appearing soon at green960.com.
The healthcare system is broken.
That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in SoCal Village at Old San Jose Road in SoCal Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
And let's take a look at traffic. Let's start off with the problem being reported. CHP had a, northbound 17. Just before the Cats restaurant, we had an earlier problem there. It's been cleared. It was a stall vehicle. Looking at Monterey, Carmel, Santa Cruz, no problems to report, to be quite honest with you. We're going to tell you about road work in Santa Cruz. Northbound Highway 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp closed until the summer of 2008.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rolling some old-school Tone Loc. Apparently, he's been rehabilitated. They used his music in the theme for that new movie, Knocked Up. Lines open if you'd like to join us in the free speech zone at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. On the program later this week, John Dean, who served in the Nixon administration. The guy who blew the whistle on Watergate told Nixon there was a cancer on the presidency. He's become an outspoken critic, particularly of the secrecy of this Bush administration. And also on the program, Daniel Ellsberg will be joining us, I think, tomorrow. And he believes that a coup has already occurred in this country. So you'll hear a wide range of views and lots of room for your phone calls here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Cheryl in Castro Valley, listening on Green 960, welcome to the PBC Show. Cheryl, are you with us? Going once, twice, and Cheryl didn't make it. Billy in SoCal. Hello, Billy.
Close enough to SoCal that it will do.
Okay. Cheryl, call us back. It was operator error, and I'm the operator. I pulled up the wrong fader, and you may have been there. So, Cheryl, call us back. I'd love to hear your comment. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, it wasn't that you were so excited to get to me. I know that. Good to hear you, Peter.
Thank you, sir.
So, you and Jake really touched on this. There's two things that are operating. Let's talk about the first one, and that is the Obama movement or phenomena. You know, if Obama's more than just a politician and becomes a movement, and I think that's what he can become, then he can be bigger than Hillary. It's hard to be a bigger person than Hillary, but it's not hard to be the bigger, you know, excitement it is easier to be more exciting than Hillary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just need to see him, though. I understand his whole approach. I agree with you. He's a game changer. He's somebody who could really change the dynamics of the election, attract people who don't think that they, you know, should or would participate in the process. But he's got to sharpen his focus and his positions and contrast himself more clearly with Senator Clinton. And he seems to be unwilling, because of the zeitgeist of his broader campaign and this idea of trying to bring new people in, he's unwilling to put the gloves on and really duke it out with her.
It looks that way. But what he has just pulled ahead in Iowa, which is interesting. I think that whatever communication he's doing in Iowa is beginning to work.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's interesting you just brought up, the weekend and the right wingers suggesting that Giuliani's not good enough for them, that they may start a third party movement if they think it's Giuliani, and that just gives us the same permission to do exactly the same thing. Why not do our own third party candidate, a much more
less. Honestly,
it looks like it's Hillary we're stuck with, and if they go to the third party route too.
Well, the barriers to third party candidates are too high in my view, and to me, the only real shakeup that could occur on the Democratic side is if Al Gore agrees to jump into the race.
Oh, like a Gore Obama candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my.
Yeah. Thank you, Billy. Let's go back to Cheryl in Castro Valley, who I rudely hung up on a moment ago. Hello, Cheryl.
Hello. Am I on this time?
You are. And, on some of these radio shows, there's an underpaid board operator who gets pummeled every time something goes wrong. And my operation's so cheap, I don't even have an underpaid board operator. I'm the guy responsible, and I apologize for that.
Well, that's okay. That's a good one. Thank you very much. Good to talk to you.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say a couple of things. If everybody is calling in to complain about Hillary, then it seems pretty obvious that she probably wouldn't be the best to be our nominee.
Well,
I mean, if dyed-in-the-wool Democrats are really not behind her, that's really saying something about what kind of polarization she has with people who are not Democrats.
Well, Cheryl, you make a good point, and one of the things that I look at is that she has no real room to grow as a candidate. The polls indicate that people have hardened their opinions about her. About 45% detest her, and about 45% like her, maybe 48% on a good day. But her negatives are so high, and the undecideds are so low, that she does not have room to expand her political base. And so she's got to run this perfect campaign, no mistakes, and that leads to, a kind of a robot nature of the comments and the policies that she articulates.
I think that the fact that, she is so polarizing, I'm looking at this as such an important election. We really need someone that's going to win. Absolutely, no kidding at all. Again, her negatives. I loved her as a first lady, but her negatives with other people tell me that she's really not going to get the vote, I think, nationally. My opinion is John Edwards. I didn't hear who you guys were talking about earlier, the fellow's name,
mm-hmm.
The candidate, that needs to sort of distinguish himself with
Hillary. That was Obama.
But I don't think Obama's going to do it either. I mean, I think John Edwards is the most electable. He can carry the South.
Wait.
Even Republicans.
I would like to see him carry the South, but remember, on the Kerry ticket, he did not bring a single Southern state into the blue column.
Well, the thing is, I don't count anything on the Kerry ticket in 2004 because I'm not sure any of those election numbers were real. about that.
You got the right attitude there. Thanks a lot for your call. Now, is it Corey in San Francisco?
Corey,
welcome.
Thank you, and thanks for your show. Love your show. Wish you could be on days a week.
Well, thank you. It's what I love to do, and as I've mentioned, it's the alternative to daily psychotherapy for me.
Yes, good. I think both parties are corporatists and sellouts to the corporations, and so, I'm for Ralph Nader and then Dennis Kucinich next, but I'm thinking that I'm going to support Hillary because I think there's so much internalized sexism and misogyny that I've heard in both men and women that I think it would be good to have a woman in there. And also I think that she would be better in terms of picking Supreme Court justices than a Republican.
Well, on the latter point, I fully agree that any Democrat would be much more balanced in court appointments. And that is a very critical issue that your friend Ralph Nader undersold in both 2000 and 2004 when he said there isn't a dime's worth of difference between the Democrat and the Republican. Now, I think there was at least 25 cents worth of difference.
Yeah.
And it revolves around lifetime appointments and some of the crucial issues related to presidential power that this administration has been so aggressive on.
I agree with that.
I think that we need to rein that in. As to misogyny, I understand the issue, and it is something that I freely admit exists in our society and in our cultures. We need to address it, but I don't know that Hillary is the right figure to lead us forward because she is so polarizing, and because although Joe Biden was inarticulate about it, he said, you know, you got all that stuff. He was referring to political baggage. And it is very real, and the Republicans will dump hundreds of millions of dollars into reminding us of the negatives of the Clintons.
She can handle it.
All right, that's your view, and you get the final word. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all for calling the program. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations. Visit my website at peterbcollins.com. Thanks to our producer, Katrina Rill, and look for podcasts at green960.com. This is Peter B. Collins.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A team of FBI agents is being sent to Baghdad to look into that shootout last month that left 11 Iraqis dead. More from CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis.
Until now, the FBI has remained on the sidelines while the State Department investigates the shootings of Iraqi civilians by Blackwater USA guards. But now the FBI has been asked for formal assistance to review evidence, to interview guards, and to get to the bottom of what happened. FBI officials stress there's no allegation or finding from the State Department probe that any Blackwater USA guards broke the law.
Blackwater will face some tough questions on Capitol Hill tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that part of the story.
In a report just one day before the head of Blackwater comes to testify, House investigators say they found more evidence of wrongdoing by the highly paid private soldiers working for the U.S. in Iraq. The House committee reports of 195 shooting incidents involving Blackwater. More than 80% of the time, Blackwater guards fired first. It says they often fired from moving cars and never check to see who they hit.
Over the past 3 years, the report says Blackwater has fired 122 employees for misuse of weapons, alcohol and drug violations, inappropriate conduct, and violent behavior. The closing bell of the New York Stock Exchange ended an exuberant trading session that saw the Dow rise 191 points to a record close, 14,087. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus followed the action.
There were lots of cheers on Wall Street because it was the Dow's first record close since July 19th. It was the market's biggest one-day gain since September 18th when the Fed cut interest rates. Investors were able to shrug off some bad news in the banking sector, profit warnings from both Citigroup and UBS because of the mortgage mess. And instead, investors are focusing on the possibility of more Fed rate cuts.
If the Fed cooperates, Eugene Peroni of Advisors Asset Management says the Dow could reach 15,000 by the end of the year.
There were lots of cheers on Wall Street.
15,000, I don't think, is a mighty stretch here at this point, especially since we're just beginning the fourth quarter. 3 months to go, I think that is a doable objective.
A Cleveland man rushed home from work today after getting a strange call from his girlfriend. Dan DeRoos of CBS television affiliate WOIO says she told him their children were at peace.
By the time he gets to the